Hey yo, this cat can't stand me. No, we wanna have me. He'll only win this battle cause this whole crowd's his family. Which yo, your church is record breaker, what that mean, yo? You're the only cat that ever took 80 losses in a row? Is that how it goes on the mic? You can't got to. How you saying you serve a cat? You look just like Ja Rule. That's how it goes up on the mic, you ain't straight buzzing. Now fuck Ja Rule, your Flavor Flav second cousin. That's how it goes, your flowing is weak. And when you do that shit, you show me your corroded ass teeth. Always spitting my lines, thinking that he's fresher. Spitting idea lines, the only way you'll ever sell a record. So why'd you do that? You know I beat crew fat. You know what, you need to take your whole fucking crew back to school black. That's how it goes, pull up the stool, I'm the teacher. I'm about to wear your bitch ass out like his sneakers. UMCs to me is just geekers. This cat stays close to my dick like a beeper. He ain't even coming with the cheaper. You just lost your life by idea, the Grim Reaper.
Listen, man. Yo. Hey, yo. Listen. Hey, yo, I'ma spit hot bars, even if this dude is boring. They got shells battering, Lil Chuck Norris. We get it going, man, you don't really want that. And I put this burner right where your tongue at, yo. This dude named Girl is Butterface, cause everything looks good, Butterface. You don't really want no harder shells, cause I hit hard. You can call me the Black Freewell. Now wait a minute, we can get the game jumping. He's like Destiny Child, jumping, jumping. You don't know, I'ma let this go. And you talk about my teeth, talk about my flow. I'm a hot skippity cat, me mad nice. I be damned to lose against Vanilla Ice. Hold up, don't try to save my lines, cause guess what, it's like 1-800, nothing but hot lines. Hold up, you better slow up and grow up. This dude's so ugly, I'm about to throw up. You saying I'm whack, cause your man's white. And guess what, I'm here 20 deep, and we can fight. And I don't care, we can do this forever. You like fake jeans, and you fake.
Two rounds, number two.
Hey yo, you straight bring the worst game. Couldn't be the one if KRS was your first name. I'll grab the microphone and let you know I'm mad tight. I'll let you know I could have been your dad, right? Matter of fact, I was with your mom last night. Matter of fact, I'm the reason your little sister's half white. Where to go? I'm straight terrible. I beat you so bad, I'll let your fucking parents know. It goes to Mike, you know I straight just talk. I've won more battles than your bitch ass is lost, and that's a lot. You know I straight rap for props. This is just another whack cat on my jock. I grab the microphone and straight smoke a clown. I'm beating him in his own fucking hometown. Now how dope does that make you? On the mic, I'll break you. Even if you was a bitch with a legs open, no one rape you. That's how it goes. On the mic, you straight bust whack. Look at this cat, 25, can't grow a mustache. What's up with that? Your whole style is weak. You get defeated, depleted, your whole style is cheap. Yo, I grab the mic and straight disconnect your face. Yo, it's your turn, but you got second place.
Listen, listen, man, listen. Check it. Just listen, man, listen. Hey, yo. Hey, yo. Hey, yo, this ain't written. I'ma spit some freestyle stuff. And you the type get deal, but it get jerked by Puff. Now, hold up. You better calm down, man. You know I act funny when a gun in hand. You got Rhyme Slayer? You look like Buffy the motherfucking Rhyme Slayer. And your breath smell like Manu from the Himalaya. So stop it, man. You don't know what I'm going through now. It's 30 seconds, 29, and use a bird. He thought iceberg meant Hold up and bring it back. You white like that. Why you laughing? Look at his teeth. It got a crack. You laughing with your smirk on your face. You look gay. And you, Dr. Dre, says, go, man, I'm freestyling. Fuck y'all niggas. I got a gun, and I don't really trust y'all niggas. We could get it jumping, and you don't want that. And guess what? I'm the reason your sister's half black. So let's go, and I'ma kill your old line. Because I'ma tell you this one more last time.
Welcome to the Insomnia Stream. I can't hear out of my left ear edition. Every year this happens. I'm trying to adjust some things here. Every year, since I was a baby. I'm pretty sure it's the same year. Yeah, it's got to be the same year. This ear just gets fucked up, like, when the weather changes. Usually when spring starts, but sometimes when winter starts. I don't know what the deal is. And it's, it throws your whole balance off. Like, you don't realize how much, stereo sound adds to your ability to, I don't know, perceive the world and balance and everything. Like, you know, it's just, everything's off. Everything's a little bit off today. A little bit off. But, whatever. I'll get through it. Of course, this is actually Okinawa Rape Edition. How many streams? And no, it's not going to be another, like, the 90s ones, but, like, I mean, it's like, how many do I have to do? How many do I have to do? You're seeing people pushing the 90s, like, and I wonder why. Like, it's some kind of fucking wonder world to return to. And it doesn't give anyone pause. It doesn't give anyone pause when shit like this is being pushed by none other than James fucking Lindsay, the fat retard with the sword that keeps trying to make woke right a thing with, like, a lesbian daughter that he would publicly ogle chicks with, according to him. I mean, this doesn't give you pause that they're trying to bring back. Like, that's what they want. That's what they want. Do you not remember the 90s? Do you not remember how philo-Semitic the 90s? And look, a lot of people just don't. They don't remember the 90s. They don't remember the 90s. And to the extent that they do, it's they were kids. They were kids. So they remember being kids. And yeah, being a kid is more fun. You know, the old thing, you know, where they say youth is wasted on the young. It's true. It's something you don't understand until you start to get old. I guess that means I'm starting to get old. But you start to figure it out. You're like, oh, shit. Oh, I fucked up, huh? Like, but everyone does. Because you don't know. You don't know. You're a kid. You think it's going to go on forever like that. But it doesn't. It doesn't. And time speeds up. That's the worst part. Time speeds up. I think it's because, to some degree, our perception of time is based on percentage. Right? Like, when you're 10, a year seems like a really long time. That's 10% of your life. When you're 30, it's like, it's still kind of long, but not as much, you know? You know, and in fact, that when you're 30, like 5 years. You know, when you're 10, that's 50% of your life. Right? That's like half your life. 5 years? Oh, my God. When you're 30, you're like, I remember when I was 25. That seems like yesterday. So, people are mis... And here's the other thing, too. When you don't have any responsibilities, and when you're a kid, so your parents, if they're good parents, are kind of shielding you from the shit in the world. Right? And the stuff that you pay attention to is not the stuff you pay attention to as an adult. And so everything just seems like there are going to be people, and you might even be one of them, that look back to 2025 with fond memories. You can have fond memories anytime. I mean, I would hope at least that at some point you can look back at 2025 and be like, oh, that time was kind of great. You know? Or else what are you doing? I mean, you gotta go have some fucking fun. But no, it's getting pushed. It's getting pushed and people are very upset. Very upset when you try to tell them that no, the 90s are actually pretty fucking gay. They're actually really fucking gay. All this stuff that was that you're now seeing the fruits of, all those trees, they weren't being planted. They had been planted. They were just shrubberies. Or as I like to say, you have stage 4 cancer now, and you're looking back at when you had stage 2 cancer and thinking like, ah, those are the days. Really, were they? Were they? Because it's, you still end up with stage 4, you know? But of course, Jews want you to go back to the 90s. That was like the Jewiest fucking decade of all time. Yeah, I was doing research for this thing. Not even, I didn't have like the 90s in mind. I just came across some story. I wanted to know more about it. And it happened in the 90s. And on the page, I was going through old newspapers. And on the page that I was looking for, that had the article that I was looking for, this isn't like in the same newspaper, on the same newspaper page, there was OJ. There was this story about military training putting women on par with men. That's right. Study boosts female strength. You hear that, boys? Girls are just as good as men. This is 1995. You know, the wonderful utopia, the 90s. Yeah, it's already metastasized. Already there. Already replicating those mutated fucking cells and spreading throughout the rest of your body. Same page. Gay marriage ceremonies, okay. Same page. Cackling lesbian in the picture. Gay moment. San Francisco supervisor Carol Migden. Early life check on that, can we? Who is gay, lets out a laugh Monday after the Board of Supervisors approved of a measure giving gay couples the right to a symbolic wedding ceremony. Well, there it is. 95, it was already happening. It's already fucking happening. And then I'm looking not just through newspapers, trying to research this story. I'm trying to find video. Harder to find the video on this one. Really, actually, really fucking hard to find the video on this one. Which was weird because in the places I usually look, sometimes, like, they haven't uploaded all the content they have, right? They'll have, like, you can search the catalog and it'll come up with, like, you know, your keywords and, you know, some of them will be missing. You're like, damn, I wish they had that. Cause you know, they'll have like the title that you want and the story that you want and you can't get it. But you know that it's somewhere, it exists somewhere, right? It's probably on some server or whatever. This is one of the few times where none of them were uploaded. They all existed on a server somewhere, and when I did find a clip, I think it's because they didn't have, I got lucky. I was looking for every little keyword I could think of to try to track this thing down, and I think that if there was, and I'm not saying there was, but if there was a deliberate attempt to not have these stories on the internet, I could see how it could slip through the cracks. But what was funny is it was a CBS Evening News report. And 1995, right? Same year, obviously. And what's going on? Remember what they're saying is there was no racism in the 90s. Everything was great. You know, we lived in, basically it was like 100% white. right? And it was sunshine every day. You know, the internet was still, you know, very, I mean, I don't know what these guys were doing. I was on the internet in the 90s. But, like, they, you know, apparently a lot of these people didn't know what the internet was yet. And so that somehow makes the world better. And, they're starting to sound like boomers. They're starting to sound like boomers talking about the fucking 1960s, these fuckers. But anyway. Racism was totally non-existent. And, what's this news story about?
The Million Man March by and for African-American men once stretched as far as the eye could see from Capitol Hill.
Oh. The Million Man, I forgot about the Million Man March. You know, the black nationalists, that's weird. I thought, you know, racism was fucking solved. That there was no, you know, that everyone was, huh. See, here's the thing. When you're like 7, you don't know what the fuck the Million Man March is. You're not watching the OJ trial. You don't know what the fuck's going on in the world. You're watching the fucking Disney Channel and playing with super soakers in the front yard and whatever. So it's not that this shit wasn't still and always going on since integration. It's just that you weren't fucking aware of it. You weren't aware of it. In the same way that the boomers were too fucking stoned out of their minds in the 1960s to think that that was anything other than some wonderful magical time. You were too high on Capri Suns and fruit roll-ups to know what the fuck was going on. You were eating your Lunchables and playing Contra, memorizing like the little up down whatever to get the million lives. That's how complicated your life was. But it doesn't mean this shit wasn't going on. Because it was. Obviously, it was. And so yeah, I'm sitting there looking at this news report. I'm scrubbing through it, trying to find the story. It hit on a tag that I was looking for. I was like, oh, maybe this is it. And it's like, Million Man March. Like 400,000 plus black men come down, you know, in racial solidarity, telling whitey that they need to step back and respect their authority. In Washington. Now look at that. It's bigger than Trump's inauguration. Look at that. Farrakhan drew bigger crowds than Trump did. And so they're going, oh, okay. Well, kind of interesting that just on the same day that this other story I'm looking for is getting reported on, this is happening in the wonderful race blind 90s.
Wyatt Andrews reports on those who didn't come.
Thousands of black men marched on Washington today, but not Lawrence Williams, a telecommunications executive who wanted no part of it.
The magic Negro.
So that's why you thought it was the 90s, because they couldn't. See, this is what happened in the 90s. This is what happened in the 90s. That every time they would report on stuff like this, they had to keep telling the white people, no, it's cool, look, this guy didn't go. He didn't go. Look, he lives in like a McMansion, like a, you probably have a house like this if you're a white person in the 90s. You know, you got the two-car garage, and both those cars look like they're 90s cars. They're not old and beat up. He's wearing a suit. He was walking his kid out. His wife works. You know, it's like the fucking Huxtables. Say, look. So no, don't worry about this. This Farrakhan thing. Don't worry about the Million Man March. Don't worry about the OJ trial. Don't worry about the race riots in LA. Don't worry about. Look, see, look. He's wearing a suit. He's wearing a suit. He's just like you. See, it's working. It's working. Stop thinking it's not working. It's working. this huge wild bet that you and your ancestors made, all starry-eyed and hopeful that somehow you were going to erase the differences between peoples, or at the very least, maybe lessen them. Maybe, I mean, to some degree, you were successful, right? In kind of smoothing out the contrast between the different kinds of Europeans that came here, right? I mean, so why not? Why can't you do the same thing with everybody, right? Don't worry, it's gonna work out. It's working out. So that's what they did in this news story. They're like, oh, but don't worry, white families at home. Look, these guys didn't go to it. They get it. They're like you. They understand. And look, Colin Powell. He didn't go either. He was gonna go. The funny thing is, this is how philo-Semitic the fucking 90s were. The reason why Colin Powell didn't go is because Farrakhan was anti-Semitic. That's the funny thing. And white people were like, well, that's good on him. Good on him. It's true. Farrakhan, he does not like Jews. Good on him. I'm glad he's another one of the good ones. I'm glad he gives us hope. See, people like Colin Powell, that shows you this crazy experiment that always seems like it's not working out. This shows you that there's a chance. See? Ignore the fact that, like, the more successful black people are, invariably, like, the lighter skin they are, and what that might mean about their genetic background. But, look, like, Colin Powell, he gets it. He's not going to be tricked by Farrakhan's anti-Semitism. Boo. Boo on Farrakhan's anti-Semitism. That's what it was. That's the funny thing, is they don't bitch about Farrakhan being anti-white in this news story. They just call him an anti-Semite. And all the white people are like, yeah, that's not cool, bro. The Holocaust, man. Didn't you see Schindler's List? Like, it just came out. You can probably get it on VHS at Blockbuster right now. If there's still a copy. I mean, because... Whew, that's it. That is a popular film, my friend. I watched that movie and I was on the phone the next day calling everyone I knew. You got to watch this Schindler's List thing. Well, wait till Seinfeld's over. You can watch it after you watch Seinfeld. It's the 90s, man. We gotta get past this racial hatred, this animus. Well, I know, we have to face our evil past. Oh no, I already made the kids watch it like 3 times. So I'm still watching this news report going, okay. So Farrakhan is having a black power rally in D.C. with 400,000 people. Another good example of the hubris of white people, by the way, is I still remember. I remember people like Rush Limbaugh and comedians making fun of Farrakhan. Like, one of the few black people you can make fun of because he was anti-Semitic. So you could, you know, it's just like what's going on today, right? Right, you're allowed to hate the brown people that don't like Jews. You can call them fucking animals. Do whatever you want. Nothing's going to happen to you. You can deport them, apparently. Finally, we can deport somebody. But I remember all the comedians, the late night comedians and stuff. Like, oh, ho, ho, you called the Million Man March and only 400,000 people showed. Like, it's like, bitch, get 400,000 people to show up anywhere. And especially, like, poor black people, get them to show up. Although I suspect a lot of them just lived in D.C.'s very black. I wonder how many there would have been if you took away, like, the locals in D.C. I don't know. But that was the white hubris. They're just like, oh, yeah, he's just a crackpot. Black people they're warming up to the Bill Cosby way of thinking.
Additional news, including a movement in Japan against a crime charged to the U.S. military.
I was like, oh, finally I found my story. Oh, now there's a commercial for laxatives with two very whitely presenting black women. And that was the commercials. The commercials were either all white people in very wholesome scenarios, or black people dressed as white people being white. And again, if you're like one of these people at home and you don't actually live in proximity to diversity, which was not just possible, was very likely. In fact, that's the funny thing. A lot of these people, these 90s fetishists, they're always like, well, I miss living in my white neighborhood. It's like, we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, I mean, again, you're starting to sound like a boomer. Because you're not saying you miss your white neighborhood. You miss white people. You're saying you miss the 90s. You know? And that's why it's okay for you to miss the 90s. Because the 90s isn't your white neighborhood. Not even by the numbers. It's two black ladies dressed like white women drinking X-Lax. that's the fucking 90s. But anyway, that's the story I was looking for. I was like, ha! Story about something terrible that has happened in Okinawa. In 1995, specifically in September of 95, this was being reported in October, didn't get a lot of coverage, like I was saying. And to the degree that it got coverage, there was some very important specifics being left out of the coverage. But I was like, aha, I'm on the right track. He said he's going to get to this story. So I fast forward through all the laxative commercials. Get back to Dan Rather. I'm like, all right, Dan, tell me about this horrible thing that happened in Okinawa that I'm looking into.
The Prime Minister of Japan said today he hopes to resolve a controversy over U.S. military bases before he meets with President Clinton next month. The bases became a flashpoint with the rape of a schoolgirl on the island of Okinawa. Three U.S. servicemen have been charged and handed over to Japanese authorities for trial, but that hasn't quieted the rage, as Barry Peterson reports.
Okinawans took to the street tonight in anger. Anger at two U.S. Marines and a sailor charged with abducting and raping a 12-year-old girl. Anger from people who want the American military out because they say they're afraid to walk down their own streets.
I feel scared to death. If these things happen to my, you know, daughter, I don't think I can survive. I can live.
Ah, Marines are just going around raping Japanese people, it looks like. Little girls. And again, because the surrounding images... Yeah, the more we look at how AIs behave when you train them on data, the more you can understand the human mind. and why the 90s made idiots out of everybody. Like, made idiots out of white people. Garbage in, garbage out. Because you were training them on shit data in the 90s. You were giving them this fake perception of the universe. And so you were making, just like, you know, an AI that's has forbidden, you know, knowledge that it's not allowed to be trained on, or that it's actively told to ignore. The same thing was happening to the people in the 90s, the white people in the 90s. And so you're bombarded with all these images where, like, oh, look, you live in this really white country. You watch movies and most of the cast is white or Jewish, and you think that's white because it's the 90s. You don't even realize, you don't even put together that, like, half the people on every screen you look at is Jewish. It doesn't even, and if you found out, you wouldn't care. You'd be like, oh, those industrious, entertaining, funny Jews. And look, some of the super Jewy ones, that was their whole persona, was that, oh, I'm super Jewy, like Larry David. Look how Jewy I am. And everyone's like, ho, that hilarious Jew. You got to give it to them neurotic Jews. They're funny. So your mind is being bombarded by these images of, oh no, your country's still, like, basically 100% white. You know, you watch movies, there's the token black guy in the movie, but don't worry, this is representative. If you live in a white suburb, as many white people did to avoid living around the diversity, and you essentially are putting your head in the proverbial sand because you live in these gated communities with these cinder block fucking walls and the stucco boxes that you live in, usually painted some shade of pink or tan. And, you know, you never really travel to the downtown area anymore. I mean, there's no reason to do that. You can get everything you want at the strip mall. And, you know, your kid's school is close by, and everyone else that lives in your suburb is also a white person that it has either they or their parents fled diversity a generation before. And when you flip on the TV, your window into the rest of the country, because that's what it was. A lot of Americans, if they travel within the country, they just travel from one white area to another white area. And their way of experiencing the rest of the country that they're not traveling to is whatever the Jews are telling them on television. And the Jews are showing them on TV that, like, like, everyone's white. And if they're not white, they might as well be. You know, maybe their name's Enrique or Tyrone or something, but, I mean, they basically are white. You know, they're all wearing sweater vests just like you. They like to rollerblade. They play Nintendo, and they even listen to the same music. And so when you watch this news story about, oh yeah, three U.S. Marines in the 1990s, what image are you conjuring in your head? Three white guys with crew cuts. You know, you're like, these three monsters over in Japan raped a little girl. That's crazy. And the story continues.
We're supposed to be protecting our country and helping out other countries, not raping their kids.
I am not Mr. Defect. And I don't see why. How can the doctor say that I am Mr. Defect?
Yeah, let's Oh no, you're ruining the training data. Yeah, it's very artfully done, actually. Very artfully done. Because if for example you did imagine some dumb, you know, double digit IQ black guy, no, look, he's here on the screen telling you that, well, we're not supposed to be going around raping kids. Really? Wow, you seem to really struggle to put that thought together. That seemed to be like using every last brain cell to generate that thought. Like, oh, I don't get it. We're not supposed to be raping kids. So now, yeah, that's if for whatever reason you imagine black people in that moment, now he does. So he gets it. He's maybe not the brightest bulb, but yeah, he seems to get it. He seems to get it. So you know. And then they go back to the fair. That's it. They don't really talk much about it. They're just like, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. But the black Marines know not to rape kids. But you know who is bad and black? Farrakhan. He doesn't like the Jews.
White people have to come out of that idea, which has poisoned them into a false attitude of superiority based on the color of their skin.
I thought racism was gone in the 90s. And then, of course, cut to commercial. Cut to commercial with rollerblading black kid. Look, he's just like one of your kids. He's dressed the same. He's got the fucking knee pads and gay helmet on. You know, he's like rollerblading around. That's what black people are like. All right. Now back to the story. But it's kind of funny because, again, this is, you'll hear the same things being talked about in this news report from 1995, where I thought racism was gone. I thought there was no racial conflict whatsoever in the 1990s, right? That somehow that post-civil rights movement, like it took a few decades, it was going to have to, right? Like it was a little touch and go for a little bit, right? A few race riots here, you know, Martin Luther King gets assassinated and stuff. Yeah, it was a bumpy road. It was bound to be, right? But we finally, in the 90s, we managed to like clear it all up. And for like a decade or maybe part of it depends on who you talk to. Maybe it's only for the years of the 90s, but certainly during the 90s, at some point, racism was gone. And yet this is the rhetoric in a news report in 1995, right smack fucking dab in the middle of the 90s.
Race relations haven't been this bad in a long time is what you hear, mostly from white Americans. Why were those blacks cheering when O.J. was found not guilty?
Oh, my word.
A lot of people think blacks were sending white America a message. And Johnny Cochran's message inside the courtroom is Louis Farrakhan's message outside. The deck is stacked against blacks.
You're the ones who send the message. Nobody else is going to do it in the society. They don't have the courage.
In America these days, we define ourselves by our differences.
But there are more than 1 million black men standing out here this afternoon.
We are black men first, or women first, or Hispanics first.
Oh, so it's literally exactly the same, because multicultural societies will always be like that. Oh, so it was exactly the same. There was no blip. There was no magical utopian time in the 90s where race relations were just suddenly magically good. And if we can only turn back the clock to when Jews controlled the media and no one was allowed to be anti-Semitic anymore, and they made all your movies and your music and your TV and everything that you consumed. If we can only do that, then racism will be solved again. No. The 90s were just as bad as that is today as there will be in 20 years and 30 years and so on, because multicultural societies don't work. And I'm sorry, in the 90s that you were like seven and you were so wrapped up in the Fruit Roll-Ups commercial with the rollerblading black kid to notice that these sort of things were going on. But this sort of shit was going on. And by the way, notice how it was whites, according to the news report, that are reporting more dissatisfaction with this. Why? Well, because the demographics were shifting against them. They were becoming outnumbered. They were losing their power. They were losing their political power, their financial power, everything. They were losing their ability to move away from diversity. Sure, in the 90s, you could live in a suburb that was mostly white. I mean, I did. When I was older, when I was a kid, it was a fucking nightmare. But when I was in high school, I got, you know, my parents finally made enough money to where we could, well, it was more they sold their ghetto house in California when California property values were through the roof, and it allowed us to live in like a really nice part of a shitty state. They had where all the other white people lived, right? So you could do it. You could do it. But it was going away. It was going away. Even in my neighborhood, it was brand new homes. And there was gang activity to some degree. Nothing too crazy. But it was, you know, shit was getting vandalized and graffiti. That sort of thing. Not a big deal yet, but it is these days. You go to that same neighborhood, not so nice anymore. So there was no magical 90s where race relations were, oh, it was so much better. That's just what the Jews were telling you on the television so that you wouldn't notice that you were being replaced. Notice how it happened all of a sudden. Notice how it really wasn't that gradual. Where they were, you know, phasing out the white people in the casts of movies. You know, slowly but steadily. I mean, it really wasn't. You can go back and watch movies and TV going back to the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s. And even though the demographics are radically shifting during that time period, the people on the screen are, the demographics are relatively steady. And the same lies are being told about the demographics, not just in terms of their numbers, but in the socioeconomic status of the other races, right? And you know, the black people being engineers, lawyers, doctors, all this sort of a thing. Never the criminals. The white people are always like it's like the old timey white burglar with like a ski mask on. Anytime there's any kind of crime in any kind of television show or movie. Yeah. Remember the ridiculous, that's what I should find. Remember the house alarm commercials that they were playing in the 90s? I'm going to find that. I forget what those companies were called. Let me find that real quick. Because I remember, even as a kid, I was like, why is it that the burglar that's in these commercials, it's always like just some normal looking white dude that's robbing them. When we know that's not what it is. Let's see here. 90s burglar alarm commercial. Yeah. All right. Here's a good one. Let's see if I can download this real quick. My stupid YouTube downloader thing stopped working. I gotta get something new. Here we go. So this is This is the kind of commercial that you would see in the 90s. This stuff. Yeah, this is. Oh, look at this lady. She's going to get attacked in this parking lot. Until, you know, her alarm saves her.
Viper arm. Protected by Viper. Stand back.
Viper. No one dares come close.
That's basically every one of these commercials. It was like some old-timey looking burglar. He's got the fingerless gloves on. But anyway, that's what you saw. Like, all this stuff's the same. I mean, just because they got to a point where they're just like, well, now they can't really do anything about it. Why don't we just go full on? So do you really want to go back to the 90s when you were still being lied to about the demographic reality of the situation? Is that really what you want to go back to that? You want to start taking the Soma? Because that's all I'm seeing. That's what I'm seeing from people. I want to go back to when I wasn't aware of the demographic changes taking place. Ah, well, I mean, that they want you to go. That's, you're right. I mean, that's what James Lindsay would love. James Lindsay would like nothing more than for you to go back in time to where you thought that. Now, to be fair, this guy does look like a little bit of a tortellini Tyrone there, right? He doesn't. but that's it. Yeah, James Lindsay wants you to go back in time when you think that cars are being stolen by old-timey burglars with fingerless gloves and ski masks. And that everyone is white, or if they're not white, they're wearing the sweater vest and they sound like you and they think like you and they vote like you. And aren't those Jews hilarious? Aren't they just funny? But again, that's not even the 90s. That's like 90s television. As they said on the news report, like, we've never been more divided. It's like, yeah, that's, get used to that. That never goes away. That's the thing about genetics, is you can't social engineer your way out of genetics. You can try. It's not going to happen. Behavior is genetic. And while you can certainly influence behavior and within a threshold, that threshold is controlled by biology. And so really the only way to change the behavior in any kind of meaningful way is to change the biological makeup of the society. Either through, you know, deportations or, I don't know, I guess extreme eugenics or something, but that's it. Doesn't matter how many negative stereotypes you project onto white people while simultaneously projecting positive stereotypes onto black people in the hopes that maybe that those stereotypes will then manifest, you know, through some Jewish magic trick. Doesn't matter how many little black kids in rollerblades you put on the screen. That's just, we all know he stole those fucking rollerblades. Should have had Viper. Should have had Viper. And the race relations were not good. They were getting worse. They didn't magically just get super bad one day. Everyone seems to think that, like, and then Obama was elected and all, he ruined, oh, thanks, Obama. He ruined everything. Racism was going away until he said Trayvon Martin looked like his son. That's when it all came crumbling down. Like, really? That's your thesis? When this was going on. So anyway, I continue to watch this episode, surprised that, you know, I thought the 90s were this wonderful race-blind time, and they're saying it's like never been worse, and it's getting worse, and what are we going to do? Even Dan Rather even closes his show out, very concerned about the racial division in our country. This is 1995.
And so tonight, as the crowds head for home in the twilight, the U.S. Park Service officially estimates 400,000 people attended this march. An impressive turnout by any standard. By the same token, here we are in Washington again, watching the country come face to face with its racial divisions another time. Question among the questions is this. Unlike the March on Washington of 1963, led by Martin Luther King Jr., did those attending this event, and millions more watching it unfold at home, watch it from across a greater divide more than a generation later? And if so, what do we as a nation, as a people, as individuals, intend to do about it? Part of our world tonight. Tomorrow morning, watch the new CBS This Morning with Bill Cosby.
Oh, good. Bill Cosby. He's saying, like, he's like, yeah, it's weird. Like, it's like the racial divide is even wider than it was in the time of Martin Luther King. What's going on? What's going on? Our experiment's failing. And there's Elon Musk, also promoting the 90s. I forgot to screenshot what he said, so you guys can see it. Let me do that real quick. Elon Musk, James Lindsay, all the usual suspects. They want you to crave Spielberg movies. That's basically what it boils down to. They want you to crave Spielberg movies. Where is it? Here we are. All right. And as people get older, because like I said, they don't really miss the 90s. They miss being a fucking kid. And now that people that were kids in the 90s are getting old. I mean, people that were kids in the early 2000s are starting to get old. They're starting to have the same delusions about the early 2000s. And there it is. So this is what I was retweeting. This is Elon Musk. Someone tweeted out, obviously someone, either a young millennial or old Zoomer, how life felt in the early 2000s, and it's rainbows, it's unicorns and shit, and it's like, again, it's obviously delusional. And Elon Musk is like, and the 90s, because he's a, you know, he's a Gen Xer that wants to, you know, like every billionaire, the one thing he can't buy is his youth. Doesn't matter how many gallons of baby blood he drinks. And he's getting that Peter. You guys know about the Peter Thiel's, like, baby blood company, right? And it's not really baby blood, but I mean, it lets you know that the billionaires get the baby blood. You guys know about this company, right? Peter Thiel's got a company in California that for a outrageous fee, you can get a blood transfusion. They'll drain your blood out and pump in like 18-year-old blood. Because they, what they do is they pay, you know, like healthy teenager, well, you know, I guess 18, to donate blood. And they sell it to rich people. They drain their old blood out and get young people blood pumped into them. And you know, and that's just what we know about. So, you know, if that's going on, we know they got like a refrigerator full of baby blood. Okay. We know like that Rockefeller motherfucker that had, he had like fucking like 4 heart transplants or some shit before he died. How do you even accomplish? Well, I mean, I guess money, right? So yeah, I simply said millennials and Gen X are slowly turning into microwave leftover versions of their parents. Instead of romanticizing the 60s and Martin Luther King and Woodstock, they fetishize the 90s, Bill Cosby, and Woodstock 94. But there, it's obnoxious to see. It's obnoxious to see because I like this. Look, I'm not saying, here's the thing. People are like, ugh. Why, I have good memories. Let me have nostalgia. I'm not saying you can't have good memories. There's a difference between missing something and nostalgia. For example, I miss my dead grandma. I wish she was here. It would be nice if she was here. I have nostalgia about my grade school cafeteria. But that doesn't mean I want the fucking lunch lady living in my kitchen scooping slop onto my plate when I get up in the morning. Okay? There's a difference. A big difference between missing something. It's like when something, you know, someone holds up a picture and they say, what's missing? What they're asking is, what's not there that should be there? They don't hold up the picture and they say, what are you nostalgic for in this picture? I don't know. Like, what do you mean? You're allowed to have, obviously, good memories about a super gay decade, super Jewish gay faggot decade. You're allowed to have nostalgia about 2025 in 5 years or however. I don't know what, maybe there is like a minimum before it happens. But when you say you miss it, that means you want it back. That means it's missing. That means there's a hole in your soul that only the 90s can fill. And they want you to miss it. They want you to miss it. It's like when you see people like Charlie Kirk tweeting out every time like Hollywood panders to retarded MAGA, you know, rat MAGA people. Oh, look, they made a movie with like Bible references in it. Oh, look, Hollywood's coming back around. Now they just know that they got to be trickier. They just know they got to be trickier. Do you think 90s movies were, I mean, fuck, that's how I started like a lot of this channel. Was going over 90s movies, pointing out like the how subversive they were. Oh yeah, let's go back to that. Yeah, let's go back to when they're just subtly mind fucking you, instead of being in your face about it. So that most people don't get it, they don't know that it's happening, and so it keeps happening. Because most people are basically retards. Let's go back to that. Let's go back to the decade when the majority of retards, which is most people, that's white people included. Look, that's just the way it is. You know, most people are followers of the culture. and of the leadership. Most people don't question things. They just go along with it. The only time they question things, it gets really uncomfortable. If survival mechanisms start to activate. So let's go back to when you don't, you know, let's treat the symptoms, not the problem. Let's go back to when everyone's so doped up. I don't mean that literally, although that, you know, why not? Yeah, and get high too. Remember that's when weed got really cool, the 90s. You know, Cypress Hill, Dr. Dre, The Chronic. That's when that stopped being, as taboo. That went super mainstream. Weed culture. Sure, that didn't help. Hey, everybody, get really high and watch Will and Grace. It'll be fun. It's when they stopped prosecuting, pretty much, for weed stuff. But it's, you know, part of it, it's the same thing with the boomers. You know, I said that you don't miss the 90s, you miss being young. But if you admit that, that means you're not young anymore, right? You're admitting that you're old. And so people don't want to say that. No one wants to say, oh, man, I miss not being this old fuck. Yeah, it was nice when I wasn't this old fucking grandpa. Like, who wants to fucking say that shit? So that they don't want to frame it like that. You say you miss being young, that means you're not young anymore. That was the problem with the boomers. They still can't say that they miss being young because they still think they're young. They still think that it's the summer of 69. That's why Viagra made so much fucking money. Or I guess Pfizer, right? That's who made it. But you're getting old. If you remember the 90s, you're getting old. I mean, 1995 was 30 fucking years ago. And deal with it. That's how long ago it was. And these are the demographics. If anything, the 90s, so this is, for those of you who are, maybe you're just listening, it's a graph that's plotting out the percent, the population share that white people had in the or from the 1970s until the 2020s. I think it's actually not as even as optimistic as this, but you know, be that as it may, these are, I think, the official numbers. In 1970, America was 83.5% white. In 2020, it's 57.8% white. That's a dramatic shift, and a lot of that happened in the 90s. In fact, in the beginning of the 1990s, in 1990, we were already down to 75.6. So when people say, oh yeah, I miss my all-white neighborhood, dude, you were on the fast part of the decline. you were at terminal velocity in the 90s. You know, by 2000, you were down to 69%. In fact, if anything, I don't know if it's... I mean, it looks like the 90s had the sharpest decline out of all those decades. Maybe 2010 to 2020 looks like it's a little sharper, but it's hard to tell. But it's on track. I mean, it's very similar. So you thinking that, like, oh no, the 90s, it was all super, not really. I mean, it was, you want to go back to when everyone thought everything was fine while that was happening? Hmm. That's weird. I wouldn't want to do that. Now again, just have some balls and say you miss having more white people around. That I can get behind. But I don't miss the fucking 90s when everyone thought everything was okay. When this shit was going on. And this shit was going on. It's the cover of a magazine. Jews run Hollywood. So what? August 1996. And that's published in the 90s in an environment where people will be like, yeah, so what? Yeah, who cares? Blacks dominate the NBA, whatever. We're all a color of the rainbow. Jews are just like the movie part of the rainbow, I guess. Blacks are like the basketball part of the rainbow. I'm not even being hyperbolic. That's really the retarded shit brain 90s thinking of the white man that sees that cover. Yeah, so what? Who cares? Huh. How could that be a problem, having Jews running the culture and the news and academia? And political campaign donations and foreign policy. So what? They're just one of the many bands of color on that prism. That's all. I retweeted that. I said, Jews were extremely confident in the 90s. They didn't worry about noticing because everyone was so blue-pilled they could just brag about their power openly and nobody batted an eye. I guess that's why they were so comfortable doing 9/11. And that's not like a tongue-in-cheek thing. That's literally why they were able to do 9/11. You know what kind of lunatic you would sound like right after 9/11 if you said the Jews did this? You ever wonder why no alarm bells went off in anyone's heads when they did that? I mean, everyone's seen that Fox News story that aired where they, like, the only news story that aired, pointing out the dancing Israelis and talking about the Israelis that had explosive residue and like cash stuffed into socks and shit like that. Like, you ever wonder why that no one was like freaking out about that? Because people love Jews in the 90s. That was like peak America loving Jews. You know, all these super psycho Zionist Christians, like Trump's religious advisor, Paula White. They were peaking in the 90s. Pastor Hagee peaking in the 90s. That's when they were. Remember when I did the Paula White. I mean, it's hours of Paula White. If you don't know, if you haven't watched it, you need to watch Paula White House Edition. It's Trump's religious or spiritual advisor or whatever. It's official White House position. And she was making millions and millions, maybe even, I don't know, hundreds, of, but tens of millions in the 90s from idiots and telling them to support Israel. Same thing with all those guys. All the ultra Zionist Christian shit was happening in the 90s, and bled into the early 2000s. And again, I'm sorry that you were sitting around playing, you know, Altered Beast. And sipping down Pepsi Zero, or I don't know. You're too, you were too concerned with playing Wolfenstein and drink and eating fruit by the foot and Pop Rocks and I don't know what else is in the 90s. Happy Meals. To know that this shit was going on, that you were sedated. You were sedated. That's what they want. They want you sedated again. They know they turned the heat up too hot. In the 90s, it was just the right temperature. The blacks could still have sporadic riots and freak out and burn down cities. And whites would complain about it, but like inexplicably also think that everything was fine because they watched another episode of The Cosby Show. Or they watched a Martin Lawrence film. Or they watched an Eddie Murphy movie. So everything was fine. Or they watched, you know, sports ball. They were wearing a jersey with a black man's name written on the back. Collecting cards, pictures of black men. Telling their friends about their favorite picture of their favorite black man. It was perfect. If you talked about Jewish power with any note of seriousness, I mean, just ask David Duke how that worked out in the 90s for him. How seriously he was taken on the national stage. He was a punchline. Hell, in the 90s, even Trump was talking shit about not just David Duke. He was calling Pat Buchanan a Nazi. Pat Buchanan, in fact, was also a punchline. He's not even that radical. I knew who he was. To the degree that I knew he was a bad man that was racist. That's all I knew because I was a kid. And there were enough fucking jokes about him or him being the punchline in Saturday Night Live skits or whatever that just through the context and hearing everyone laugh at hearing his name, I just picked, you know, as a kid, I was just like, oh, Pat Buchanan, bad. Bad racist man. I didn't know. That's all I knew. I was a fucking kid. And most people aren't curious, so that's enough. That's enough to get them. That prevents them. You imprint that on them when they're a kid. That prevents them from ever taking him seriously. They hear that name. It's like hearing the name Hitler. Oh, well, of course Hitler says that. Why would I listen to what Hitler has to say? Racist. Yeah, I just can't, I'm sorry, I can't get this, when I was looking at the replies and people going, oh, but I like the 90s, were fucking great. It's like, all right, well, here's a 90s reference for you. This is all I can think about, listening to these retards.
Oh, man, I wish I could go back in time. I take state.
You're a bunch of fucking Uncle Ricos. You want to relive glory days you never even had. So anyway, like I said, this was all just incidental from, you know, I was researching something completely different, and it just so happened that the 90s stuff boiled over again. I'm just so fucking sick of this retarded shit about, like, but the 90s were, and it's like, shut the fuck up. The 90s were super gay, and if you like the 90s that much, then you're a fucking faggot, is really what it boils down to. You can, no one's telling you can't like being a kid or have good, I have lots of good memories about the 90s. That's normal. Yeah, that means you're well adjusted if you have good childhood memories. But if you think that's something to aspire to, fuck off, you fucking faggot. So speaking of the 90s, here's the story that they started, that Dan Rather sort of covered in a way that just conjured up images of white U.S. Marines raping kids in Japan. Here's the first headline to come out. Three Americans face rape charges in Japan. Now, Japan's been pissed off for a long time about our military occupation since, you know, World War II. We've been occupying Japan. Been occupying most of the world, really. Because we won World War II and the rest of the world kind of, or at least the Western world, all became vassal states at that point. And we put military bases to protect our serfs. And in Japan's case, I don't know all the nitty-gritty details, but they're not even allowed to have an actual military. That's part of the treaty. I don't know, again, I don't know all the nitty-gritty details, but the basics are we have our base there, and we promised protect them against, I guess, China or whoever. Really just an excuse for us to have a military presence in Asia. They don't have to spend as much money on their military. They can spend it on whatever they want, and we'll take care of it. So they've had a problem with this, or at least a lot of people have had a problem with this because, it's embarrassing. I mean, how embarrassed would you be if there was a Japanese fucking base next to your house? You had just like Japanese military aircraft flying in and out and Japanese aircraft carriers cruising on by, and it's just like they own the place. It's kind of embarrassing. But also, it's not great when the people at the base, the Marines at the base, are raping your little girls. And which is exactly what happened in 1995. Three Marines went and raped a 12-year-old girl. This is, I think, a representative from either the State Department or DOD talking about it right after the fact.
Okay, well, what I have to say is quite unpleasant, obviously, considering the nature of this event, but we understand that a 12-year-old Okinawan girl was raped, brutally attacked, beaten unconscious after being sexually assaulted on September 4th. There are three suspects, two United States Marines and one U.S. Navy person. They're now being held in the Marine Corps confinement facility at Camp Hansen in Okinawa. The United States will turn over the suspects upon formal indictment by the government of Japan. We were deeply distressed and shocked to learn of this attack. This type of behavior is completely unacceptable and is not what the United States military or the American people stand for.
Actually, it kind of is, and I'm going to make the argument for that. I think the facts will make it for me, really. If you're going to... I mean, look, spoiler alert, they're black. Everyone's already figured that out. I'm not... My big reveal... Oh, guess what? They're niggers! That's not going to happen. I would have suspected that. Not a lot of photos being showed in the reporting. in both the newspapers and zero photos in the television stuff, because television's like the extra blue-pilled form of news. So the and like I said, and even now I don't even know, because there's news reports that are just completely scrubbed from the internet that don't, you can't get access to. But I know they happen because I can tell you what day they aired on what network. And, you know, maybe if I had money, I could get them. They have a number you can call, but I'm not going to spend $5,000 for 30 seconds of video. So there were tensions in the area because there was already kind of a movement in Japan to get the military, U.S. military out of Japan. And so there was a political issue at hand. And also another political issue. It was black people that did this. In fact, this is not a new thing. It's not an old thing. This is a frequent thing where black members of the U.S. military rape, especially in Asian countries, and not just in Japan, but also in Korea, rape Asian girls because Asian girls don't want black guys. And so they're stuck in this country where everyone thinks they're, well, they're black because they are. And they don't want to whore around with the black guys. So it's... And blacks, you know, low impulse control and all that, they get rapey. And so they rape. And that's what happened here. But you wouldn't know it by looking at the reporting. And in fact, of course, when the news came out, because none of this stuff ever changes, it doesn't matter if it's 1995 or 1905 or 995,000, you know, like this is, as long as you have a multicultural society that especially if it includes blacks, these kinds of problems will always exist. It's a feature, not a bug. And that's why this looks exactly the fucking same when it gets reported that these three black guys raped a 12-year-old girl. The first thing that the mother says is, "Not my son, he's a good boy." So two of them were from Georgia. This is from a Georgia newspaper. The mothers of two Georgia men, see, they're not talking, no pictures of them. They don't talk about how they're black or like that. Were stunned to learn that their sons were in U.S. military custody for allegedly abducting and raping a Japanese schoolgirl. "I don't believe this," said Barbara Cannon of Waycross. Her son, Kendrick M. Lettett, 20, was one of the three military men stationed in Okinawa who were arrested in the September 4th incident. "My son went to Sunday school and church. He was a junior usher and in the Boy Scouts. He's never been in trouble. He's, look at that. Just like all, like every time, right? Every time." And so because they're black, in addition to saying he's just a good boy, he didn't do nothing, they immediately said it was a racial issue. The parents lawyered up. They got a Jewish lawyer. Again, none of this stuff changes. It's always the fucking same. It's always the fucking same. And they started saying that their sons wouldn't get a fair trial because they were being singled out for being black, and that the Japanese hated black people, and so did the white people in the U.S. military. And so they didn't stand a chance because, you know, we're always persecuted black people. And, in fact, here's his lawyer, his Jew lawyer.
A Japanese court Monday heard a tearful apology from one of three U.S. servicemen accused of raping a Japanese schoolgirl. The case in Okinawa has sparked outrage among many Japanese, and now a lawyer for the family of one of the accused.
Notice how no photos, right? No photos of the Marines.
Is questioning whether the men can get a fair trial. CNN's Mei Li reports.
Accusations of mistreatment and unfair legal practices are beginning to overshadow the trial of three U.S. servicemen accused of rape in Okinawa. On Monday, American attorney Michael Griffith, who is representing the families of Marines Kendrick Ledet and Rodrigo Harp, lashed out at the Okinawan government's handling of the case.
We find it intolerable that the governor and the government of Okinawa has injected itself into this court procedure, attempting to put pressure on the court to come in with a guilty verdict.
Well, they should come in with a guilty verdict because they're fucking guilty. In fact, they all pled guilty eventually. They all admitted that they did it. So, but that's the other thing. The evidence is overwhelming. They all owned up to it. But even if you go to their Wikipedia page, they try to obscure that by throwing in little weasel terms here and there that give you that would give the average Redditor the impression that, well, maybe there's something up, you know, when there's clearly not, because the evidence is overwhelming, and you'll see here in a moment it's more than that. But the reason why I said earlier that when the representative of the U.S. government who was saying that's not what the American way and that's not what we're about. Well, yeah, it is kind of what you're about. It actually is kind of what you're about. If it's one thing if you want to keep a wild animal in your fucking backyard. It's quite another thing if you want to bring it to someone else's yard and let it loose. Now you're liable. Now it is your fault. Now you did do that. It's one thing if you want to, and look, I'm not trying to stick up for Japan. I'm just trying to make a fucking point here. I'm making a point that, look, if you want to be a fucking nigger lover over here, that's one thing. But you do it over there, that's on you. You are just as guilty as the black people doing it. Almost, in a way, almost worse. Because isn't really the point of what we're saying here is they almost can't help themselves? This is just what black people do. It's like the wolf, right? You let a wolf free in your herd of sheep. Do you get mad at the wolf when he starts killing the sheep? Or do you get mad at the guy who let the wolf free? I'm not trying to absolve black people of child rape. I'm just saying that I am trying to damn and put blood on the hands of the people of America who do not take this fucking problem seriously. And the blood's not just on their hands when they go to Japan and rape little girls. The blood is on their hands when they do it here at home. And this stupid view that they had in the 90s, like this race-blind view that everyone's so fucking... Like, listen to the fucking fix. Listen to the fix. They go to the Marines like, so what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about these rabid niggers going around raping bitches?
Well, their livelihood is at stake to a certain degree. The curfew begins at midnight and extends to 0600.
Oh, a curfew!
There's not a whole lot of things that are going on at that time as far as restaurants and other type of outlets. How long will it continue? I can't say how long it'll continue. It'll continue as long as we think that it's necessary.
And this is the problem. Is white people never just solve the problem. They never just fix it. Because they can't admit what the problem is. So what is their solution? To like, oh, hey, look, having black people in the military is probably not a good idea. Unless maybe you could find some way to repurpose them as cannon fodder or something like that. But... I mean, there's really no reason to have them in Japan and or here, for that matter. And so it's, you know, when your solution is a curfew, it's because you can't admit what the actual problem is. The problem's not Marines staying up too late. And this is the same thing with the AI training. What's the B-roll that went along with that clip? It's white guys. White guys walking around, you know, in military fatigues in Japan at night, like implying these are the rapey Marines. Watch out, everyone. Here comes the rapey white Marines. When this is who it was. Marcus Gill was in the Navy. And you had Rodrigo Harp, Kendrick Ledet, three black guys on base, decided one night they wanted to rape a girl. It was premeditated. They went out and hunted a 12-year-old Japanese girl. And what's crazy is not only were you not seeing any of the images of them being black, I mean, there was like, after they were convicted and the story was kind of over and it was on page B59 or, you know, whatever, on the back of the newspaper, then you finally get like, you know, these pictures in like a handful of the newspapers. But thing went on forever without you even knowing what these guys looked like. But it wasn't just the American media. It was the Japanese media, too. This is an article from the Time. Where, I think it's from the Christian Science Monitor. This is a month after the incident. And a reporter noted that Japanese media is censoring photos of the rapists. Let me get to that article here. Or where did it go? I thought I had it pasted in this thing. There it is. The three men who may be responsible for a public rage that could force changes in the U.S.-Japan security alliance are oddly faceless. The two U.S. Marines and the Navy seamen accused of abducting and raping a 12-year-old Okinawan girl on September 4th are familiar to many Japanese, but by occupation only. Photographs of the suspects' faces have been virtually absent from Japan's media. By the way, America's media as well. I know this for a fact because I went through pretty much all the available American media. News organizations here say they have not published or broadcast the photographs because they have been impossible to obtain. Gee, that's odd, huh? Some observers, however, detect a reluctance to pursue such pictures because the suspects are black. Well, it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Quote, I think it must be self-censorship, says an editorial writer at a major Japanese newspaper who spoke on condition of anonymously. It's very curious. We know that the race issue is so sensitive in the U.S., so maybe the papers are reluctant to touch that. Yeah, or maybe the military is reluctant to give you the photos. Or, again, it's like, I think it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But it is a little bit weird, right? A little bit weird. News executives may be concerned that public anger over the rape would be further inflamed. Wow, I wonder why. And take on racist overtones. See, it's not just America. Everyone has to run cover for blacks. The whole world has to run cover for blacks forever. Is that the universe you want to live in? Because it's the universe you live in. Doesn't matter if you're in Japan or America. If the race of the suspects were widely publicized, according to the journalists and other media watchers in Japan, such industry cohesion is sometimes the result of government guidance. Although government officials and media spokesmen deny such intervention in this instance. Well, yeah. Color me doubtful. The rape has caused an uproar in Okinawa, a small island prefecture that hosts 29,000 of the 45,000 U.S. troops in Japan. I mean, that's just... again, imagine if there was 45,000 Japanese troops in California. and spurred calls to review the 1960 security treaty between the two countries. The alliance provides the U.S. with key military outposts in the Pacific and Japan with guarantees of U.S. protection. They go on and talk about the political realities of what's going on there. It needs to be emphasized that race appears to have had no bearing on this crime. See, even this article, they're trying to run cover for it, acting like, oh, look, see, it's the 90s. We're all race blind in the 90s. Race had nothing to do with it. It's just a crazy coincidence that they were all black. Race had nothing to do with it. Now, one of the resources I found, one of the official tellings of what happened, was it was in this book with this awesome title, Okinawa and the U.S. Military, Identity Making in the Age of Globalization. Identity Making in the Age of Globalization. I wonder what kind of identity they're making in the age of globalization. But one of the issues they talk about is the because of globalization and the hegemony of the United States in some far off places, you know, the relations, this came up as some friction or as a friction point between the U.S. and one of its vassals, I guess. And so they had a write-up of the story to give an idea of what's going on, what happened precisely. This was, the book's version. On the Labor Day holiday, September 4th of 1995, Marcus D. Gill, 22, of the U.S. Navy, proposed the rape to his fellow servicemen, Kendrick Ledet, 20, and Rodrigo Harp, 21, both Marines, in a food court at Camp Hansen, located in North Okinawa. Quote, all three servicemen were black Americans from poor regions of the American South, end quote. Again, relevant detail. Having failed to meet local women earlier on that day in Naha, the capital city of Okinawa, the two Marines wanted to hire prostitutes. But the Navy seaman said he had no money. The three men then left the base with their rental car, with Gil driving. While cruising, they looked for a female suitable for abduction and rape on the streets of Kintown, adjacent to Camp Hansen. Ledet and Harp first attempted to abduct a woman who was walking on a narrow street, but she escaped by running into a building. Then they found a girl on her way back home from shopping for a notebook at a local general store. It was now around 8 p.m. and already dark, the sun having set about 75 minutes earlier. While Gil waited inside the car, Ledet captured the girl from behind and Harp hit her in the face twice. After Ledet pulled her into the back seat of their rented car, Gil took off while Ledet and Harp covered up her mouth and eyes with duct tape that Ledet had brought and tied her wrists and ankles before reaching a farm road near a deserted beach officially called Kin Blue Amphibious Training Area. There, Gil repeatedly beat the girl on the face and stomach with his fists so that she could no longer resist. She's 12 and Asian. Just imagine that, like how small this girl is. And she's got three Marine black guys beating the shit out of her. He and Harp raped her in the car one after another. inflicting the physical injuries that required 2 weeks of medical treatment. Ledet claimed he did not rape her, saying she was too young. Yeah, doubt. The victim's parents, infuriated, reported the crime to Okinawa Prefecture Police without delay. The United States Naval Criminal Investigative Service responded to requests and arrested the rapist immediately, the girl entreating the police to put them in jail until their death, courageously cooperated with the police, blah, 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 blah. So they were hunting girls to rape. One got away, luckily. So the Japanese people, they had no idea what these guys looked like. So in addition to, you are responsible for the wild animals that you bring into other people's homes. They also, just like pit bulls and pit bull owners, they make you look like a fucking retard for having done it. And now you get the bad reputation. You get the bad reputation. What is someone at some point going to show me the benefit to the, like, having black people in the society? There sure are a lot of cons. I'm waiting for the pros. It's real hard to find a lot of this stuff. This is from the Wayback Machine, which is why it's so shitty. It's from like 1995 internet. That's the mothers of Ledet and Harp. Notice how no fathers. Stereotype holds up. That's another thing that's never going to change. It's never going to change. It's a biological reproductive strategy. It's never going to change. This is the potato picture of the judges. So this is here's the version that I got from another source. Let's see here, of events. And we'll talk about their trial. But to give you an idea of the premeditated nature of it. All right, so September 4th, event around 8 p.m., Marcus D. Gill, Rodrigo Harp, blah, blah, all stationed at Camp Hansen, Okinawa, rented a white van and abducted a 12-year-old, Masimi Yoshinaga, while she was walking home from the stationery store in Ken, Okinawa Prefecture. The assailants beat her, duct tape her mouth and eyes, bound her hands and feet, drove her to a secluded sugarcane-filled. Gill and Harp raped her repeatedly, while Ledet claimed he only pretended to rape her out of fear. The girl sustained injuries, requiring 2 weeks of medical treatment, and was covered in bruises on her face and stomach. The assailants used condoms and adhesive tape purchased earlier that day. So again, this is something they were planning to carry out the crimes. Gill, a Navy medic, married father of two from Woodville, Texas, drove the van. Harp, a Marine vehicle driver from Griffin, Georgia, taped the victim's eyes and mouth shut. Ledet, a Marine driver from Waycross. See, this is what I'm saying. We don't even need them anymore. We didn't need them then. But we can have automated, we can have self-driving Humvees, okay? We don't need black people like chauffeuring soldiers around, okay? A Marine driver from Waycross, Georgia, grabbed the girl off the street. The perpetrators were all African-American, which led to the initial claims of racial discrimination by their families. Now, when they went to trial, which they did fight, their Jewish lawyer tried to say that you couldn't have the trial in Okinawa. Well, first, and even like the U.S. government tried to prevent giving them over to Japanese authorities. They had just recently, as part of negotiations to keep, you know, the Japanese happy with the situation with the base and everything, they had agreed, because this isn't, again, this is not a new problem, it's not an old problem, it's just a problem. If you have black people in your society, they're going to fucking rape people. That's just the way it is. So enjoy. And so this is something that's been going on for a while, and the Japanese were insisting that in the past, a lot of these servicemen were not handed over, and they insisted that they need to start handing them over. So they had actually recently come to an agreement that would allow for that, but I guess the catch was the Japanese had to officially indict them in order for that transfer to take place. So the Japanese did indict them. They were transferred over to the Japanese courts. And then they basically admitted to it because all the evidence was overwhelming. They found their underwear with her blood and their semen in their underwear in a bag from the store that she was shopping at, you know, and then obviously their fingerprints on the duct tape. I mean, they obviously did it. And this is the notes I have from the court. Let's see here. Or from the trial, rather. So in a trash can on Camp Kinzer, U.S. military investigators had retrieved three assailants' discarded pairs of underwear, each stained in the victim's blood, as well as a notebook, which is what she was buying, and a roll of electrician tape, which is, you know, I think it's just duct tape, of which they were in the same plastic bag the victim obtained from the general store. Gill pled guilty to the rape, though continuously claimed in letters and phone calls to his parents that he was just a good boy and he didn't do nothing, and that he and the other two were being manipulated by police into making statements into accordance to a false story, claiming that he could be killed if he didn't tell him that, you know, I'm just sorry, Mom, I didn't rape her, but the Japanese, they know karate. They're going to karate chop my ass unless I tell them I did it. And the police are going to torture me. And so he tries to tell his parents. Again, a lot of this stuff in Wikipedia, I mean, obviously he's going to say he's innocent to his parents, but they pepper in all these little seeds of doubt for retards. So if you're a Redditor and you go and research this story, you have just enough like of these little doubts seasoned in. Well, I don't know. You know, maybe it's like Stephen Avery. Maybe he's really innocent. Gill had explained to the judges that he'd been under a lot of work-related stress. So that's what caused it. He was under a lot of stress in the weeks preceding the crime, which were exacerbated by his orders for a transfer back to the U.S. being canceled after he failed his physical readiness test for excess weight. So he was under a lot of stress. He was fat. They said he was too fat to go home. That's how I read it. His attorney would claim that this would also cause him to have homicidal ideation. Hey, he's black. Why not? Is there anything that doesn't give black people homicidal ideation? But then this is a quote from his testimony. Quote, "We discussed how we would go about abducting a woman." Adding that Ledet said, "Let's do this," as they started off in the car. Gill would claim that his willingness to confess to the rape itself at times, speaking so graphically that the court translator started crying, demonstrated that his contrition for the account of events was very trustworthy. Gil, the guy on the left, the guy who was too fat to go home, and so he got murderous and rapey. he was trying to convince the court that he should be let off easy because he got into like the horrific details of what he did. He confessed to like such a degree. Like he said, he mentioned, look, you have to respect that I'm being so honest that your court reporter started crying. He thought that would help him get off. Boasting throughout the trial for having testified about the rape in detail, near the end of the trial, he said to the panel of judges, quote, how many of you could have done what I'd done today? There's some real high IQ. We've all seen the videos. We've all seen the videos of black defendants talking to judges and the just complete absence of any kind of rationality or personal responsibility. It doesn't change. 1995, black people weren't like a different species back then. They were the same as they are now. And so they're acting just as ridiculous in a situation that they can't wrap their head around because their people never developed the legal system. They then start blaming each other, trying to say that because Gil was, he was bragging that he was like super rapist and like that, that's what, and because he's being so honest, it's almost like a little kid, right? Like a little kid that does something wrong, but then they fess up to it thinking that's going to help them get off a little bit. And it's like, yeah, okay. If what you did was take an Oreo cookie out of the cupboard. But not if you raped beat and raped a 12-year-old girl. Okay, but again, I think black people they're like retarded children. They don't understand how. And look, to them, rape is basically just like taking an Oreo out of the fucking cupboard. So he's sitting there bragging about it, and the other two are saying that he made us do it and all this stupid shit. So obviously they get convicted. This is from the news report there. Three U.S. servicemen were convicted today in the rape of a 12-year-old Okinawan girl and sentenced to 6.5 to 7 years in prison in a case that became a symbol of American controversial bases on the Southern Island. The verdict handed down by a panel of three judges at the Naha District Court followed 6 months of bitter debate against the U.S. presence and for American troops on Okinawa, which is at one of its lowest points since World War II. None of the three, Navy Seaman Marcus Gill of Woodville, Texas, Marine PFC Rodrigo Harp, or of Griffith, Georgia, and a Marine PFC Kendrick Leddett of Waycross, Georgia, showed any emotion when the sentences were read. Seaman Gill and Harp were sentenced to 7 years, and Leddett received 6.5 years. The sentences were to be served in Japanese prisons south of Tokyo and Yokosuka. All three had confessed to some role in the crime. On the trial's opening day, Seaman Gill said he raped the girl, while Leddett and Harp said they helped abduct her, but only kind of raped her, because Seaman Gill bullied them into joining. However, the court ruled that the bloodstains from the victim were found on Harp's underwear, providing that he also raped her, and was given the same sentences as Gill. The judges concluded that Leddett was... Leddett was sentenced to 7 years, and Leddett served 6.5 years. That doesn't make sense. Sentence followed Japanese standards and will be served in Yokosuka Prison, south of Tokyo. So, they then go to prison in 96. And it's a special prison that the Japanese had to build just for U.S. soldiers. I wonder what I'm sure it's not 100% black, but I wonder what the demographics of that prison are. I wonder what the demographics of the special Japanese prison for U.S. soldiers versus the demographics of the base. I wonder. I wonder if you could get that data somehow. That'd be some interesting data, I bet. So they finally get released in 2003, which to me, they should have been buried under the fucking... they should have been in the fucking pit. They should have been executed. They should have been executed by samurais publicly. They should have been beheaded or tortured. I mean, like some Unit 42 or whatever that, you know, the super World War II sadistic Japanese shit. All that experimental bullshit should have been pulled on those guys. And that should have been it. That should have been it. And the Americans should have said, you know what? Maybe having black people is a bad idea. I mean, we have so many opportunities, so much evidence of this everywhere we look, but because we're all trying to fulfill some kind of boomer prophecy from the 1960s, we just keep ignoring all these problems and acting like they're not there. Somehow, you know, it's nothing to do with race. So they get out in 2003 and immediately... get dishonorably discharged because I guess they were technically, you know, military in order to be in the prison. They didn't receive pay during that whole time. Their families complained about that. They complained about the harsh Japanese prison conditions and because they had to assemble electronics on an assembly line as part of their imprisonment. They were complaining that it was too hard. Which I get it. I mean, you're basically prehistoric animals that have no idea how electronics work, so that's got to be frustrating. I can't imagine getting the CD player that one of these guys built. You know, if any of you bought like a bum Walkman in the 1990s, now you know why. maybe it was one of these fuckers that built your Walkman. Anyway, you'd think the story would end there. It doesn't end there. Now, what's this? What's this that happened in 2006? Oh. Ex-Marine convicted of rape kills a student and himself. So, Ledet, when he gets back home to America, he rapes and kills a white girl by the name of Lauren Corrine Cooper. And then he kills himself. And still, his family is sticking up for him. This is after he's now raped two girls and killed one of them. Very recently killed one of them, and they're still doing, he's a good boy, he didn't do nothing. In the decade since he was convicted with two other U.S. Marines of raping a young Japanese girl, Kendrick Ledet tried to put Okinawa behind him by starting anew in his native Georgia. That all ended this month when Ledet killed himself after allegedly strangling and raping a coworker. Quote, he came home to get a fresh start, his 42-year-old sister Kim Bashir said. He wasn't going to let what happened over there come back with him, really. He wanted people to accept the new person that he came home to be. Well, it sure sounds like it. Ledet made headlines in September of 95 when he was among three Marines accused of rape. No, not accused, convicted of. Raping a 12-year-old schoolgirl in Okinawa, a crime that sparked mass protests against the blah, 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 blah. Bashir said her younger brother never talked about what had happened. Well, I mean, obviously not. Hey, sis, you want to hear about my rape story? You think that's cool? Wait till you hear my rape story. Yeah, my child rape story. My violent child rape story. Police in Kennesaw, a suburb of North Atlanta, said that the 31-year-old Ledette strangled 22-year-old college student Lauren Cooper sometime during the weekend of August 19 before slitting the arteries in his own arms and bleeding to death in her apartment. There was evidence Cooper was sexually assaulted before she was killed and hit in the head, said Brian Fist, a Cobb County medical examiner. Police are continuing the investigation. I don't know what there's to investigate. And awaiting results from the autopsy, death by nigger. Officer Scott Luther of Kennesaw Police Department said Monday. Bashir said some of Ledette's friends have told her that he and Cooper, a junior studying marketing at Kennesaw State University, were friends. Well, never relax. Who left a party together on the night of August 18th to go back to Cooper's off-campus apartment together. Yeah, I'm sure that he wanted him some of that, and she wasn't taking it, so he just took it. A manager at Zuka Bar and Pizzeria in Smyrna said Ledette and Cooper worked together and said that Ledette was a nice guy but declined to comment on their relationship. Cooper's parents, who live in the nearby Woodstock, discovered the bodies in their daughter's bedroom when they went to check on her. Imagine that. When they went to check on her after they hadn't heard from her for days. So imagine finding your days dead daughter raped to death next to the body of that guy. That was two nights after the party where Ledette and Cooper were last seen. Her father, Jack, had to kick in the door to the apartment in the gated community. Well, gated communities don't help you if you let them in the gates. He said Monday that the family has retained two attorneys to further investigate the daughter's death because he disagrees with the way Kennesaw police is treating the case as open and shut. Well, come on, it's pretty open and fucking shut. There's too many holes in the story. Not really. Not really. Story's pretty fucking clear. Story is tale as old as time. I know you don't want to believe that, because that doesn't change either. Here we got a guy whose daughter is raped to death by a black guy who's already raped people to death. Or not to death, but you know. We already know he's a rapist. What are the holes? Now, there wasn't a lot of media about this. I don't know. Maybe he was on local news. It can't exactly find local Georgia television from 1996 to see if he did the whole speech about how it's not about race or whatever. But even if he didn't, you know, that's probably it was, you know, it's some boomer guy. That's probably how he felt about it. If he thought there was too many holes, like if he thought that was some kind of fucking complex, I can't figure it out. That's like the Enigma machine. I can't figure it out. It's like one of those 50-sided Rubik's cubes. Yeah, only if every side is black. But anyway, so in searching for this, I just inadvertently kept running into other stories. I mean, this. Here's another story of it happening. Same, you know, Okinawa, rape and murder. This is from 2017. It's not even that long ago. And then this was interesting. This was just on the same page as a story about the three rapists. And this just goes to show, like, we don't have a country anymore. We don't have a country. This, I think, is from 2003. U.S. sailor sentenced in Japanese driver's death. A U.S. sailor was sentenced Thursday to life in prison in the stabbing death of a Japanese taxi driver, a crime that led calls for tougher punishment for American service members who break the law. You know, American servicemen, like Olatunbosom, Ooga Booga. Like, that's really his name. It's Ugbogu. A 23-year-old Nigerian citizen serving in the U.S. Navy. What the fuck are... Why do we... This is the country you live in. They have Nigerian citizens in the Navy. He's not even a citizen. People don't know that that happens. That happens. We have non-citizen Browns and Blacks in our Army and Marines and Navy. Probably not so much Air Force, but probably Air Force too. Here's some more details. In the case of I'm gonna let this be read. All right, I wonder if I can do it with this. Hold on, let me. I'm trying to get to read it out loud. Here we are.
Olatunbosun Ugbogu.
Yeah, good old
Olatunbosun Ugbogu.
Nothing says U.S. Navy like
Olatunbosun Ugbogu.
So that guy, 22-year-old Nigerian national, became the fifth pre-indictment handover of the military personnel to Japan since the 1996 sympathetic consideration agreement that was part of because of these rapists. He applied for military duty and was assigned to the USS Cowpens. He was declared absent without leave by the U.S. military on March 10, 2008. So I guess this is a little more recent. On March 19, 2008, he racked up a $195 cab fare when he claimed that he heard voices in his head telling him to stab and kill the 61-year-old Masaki Takahashi, a taxi driver in Yokosuka. He then pierced the taxi driver's neck with a kitchen knife and severed a major artery while the taxi's motor was still running in an alley in Yokosuka's neighborhood. Ugbogu's credit card was later found below the driver's seat in the taxi, which had been suspended by a credit card company before the murder occurred. He was indicted by the Yokohama District Public Prosecutor's Office and was later convicted and received a life sentence by Yokohama District Court on July 29th, 2009. But there's like countless examples of this shit. This is not hard. It's hard to find it's not hard to find stories. It's hard to find pictures of the people doing it, but it's not hard to find the stories. And usually with the names, it's not hard to figure out what race they are. Sometimes they withhold the names though, too. Sometimes it's just like, oh, U.S. servicemen. And they never talk about it again. But this, like I said, this happens in Korea. It happens in Japan. It probably happens in fact, I know it happens in Germany. It happens in countries across the world. In fact, I don't know if this is true, so don't quote me on this, but someone told me that there was enough rape from black servicemen in Japan post-World War II that it created enough half-black, half-Japanese rape babies for a statistically significant enough black rape babies for when they were trying to do race and IQ studies, that was one of the populations they could look at because there were so many black rape babies. So that's, anyway, and that's the story of the Okinawa Rape It edition from 1995. Smack dab in the 90s, right? The more things change, it turns out, the more they stay the same. The good old 1990s. One of the greatest political challenges we have today and going forward stems from the fact that Gen Z was born too late to experience the late 80s and 90s, which were awesome beyond their wildest dreams. They don't know how great it was or what made it possible. Jews. Jews made it possible. Just say Jews. Just, Lindsay, why don't you just put, I love Jews. Like, basically, you can sum up every one of his tweets as just, I love Jews. All right. Let's take a look at Entropy Chats. Looks like we have some from, like, a while ago. We had some extras. I don't know if Entropy was being weird or whatever, but when I logged in, there was a bunch. Or maybe people didn't realize I wasn't streaming last stream and they sent them in early, which I appreciate. So we'll get to those here. We got Blue Cord. Blue Cord with a big dono.
Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with.
Look how Jewy this fag is. All right, Blue Cord. Good. It doesn't have a date here, so but I don't think you gave it to me today. Good morning, Mr. Stack. Looking forward to the replay. Thanks for what you do. Well, hopefully you weren't disappointed when there wasn't a replay last time. Or maybe you did give it this or sent it this morning. In which case, or in both cases. Thank you very much, Blue Cord. Big supporter of the show. Really appreciate that. Just a car. Just a car or just iCar? I don't know. Long time listener here. I cannot DM you on X, so I'd like to invite you this way to a platform I've recently launched for content creators, Gethly, GETHLY.com. Hopefully you will find it a useful alternative to keep in your back pocket in case of another purge. Keep doing what you are doing. Well, I'll check it out. I'll check it out after the show. It's, you know, always good to have a backup. I mean, we're doing okay right now with Rumble. I need to figure out the BitChute thing. I've been told by the BitChute people that there's some way that they're monetizing over there that I just don't get it, cuz I think it's like some weird crypto thing, and I don't know. We stream there. We're streaming there on BitChute right now. But I don't know how their monetization thing works. But I'll take a look at that. So that's his platform, I guess, Gethly.com. John Sobieski. There's Black Marines in Okinawa. That's a reenactment. That's what you gotta watch out for when you live in Okinawa these days. Love your streams. I've been contributing to your Subscribestar for almost a year. Just wanted to advertise that for you since you don't like to ask for shekels. Shout out to my Mexican faggot friend, Shekelector. Well, there you go. And you can support the show on Subscribestar, and maybe I should put, like, I don't know. I really undersell the the ways to support the show. I don't want to go overboard with it. I hate it when you see these people that are like, it's like half the show is them telling you to give them money, or they're shilling some crap, selling some kind of garbage you don't want, and it's just like, We get it. You want money. But I mean, I guess it works, right? Because they seem to have more money than I. I'm not opposed to selling stuff. I think it's like a good alternative way to monetize. It's a difficult thing to get going. Once you get it going, it's not bad, but it's a hard thing to put together. I mean, just me looking into doing the honey thing, it's just a difficult thing to do. But once you get that infrastructure put together, I feel like that's an honest way. But it's still annoying when these guys are like every 5 seconds. Did I mention that I sell penis pills and nicotine pouches or whatever the fuck they're doing these days? But I appreciate that. And yes, you can go to Subscribestar. Big Venus says thank you. Well, I appreciate that. Raven Keeper. Ravenkeeper says, last stream you asked if there was a valid case of a black death by cop. Only time I remember agreeing was Eric Garner's death in 2014. The officer's actions seemed excessive, but even then he only died because he was obese, and yet when the officer wasn't charged, there was no chimp out. They seemed to only do so when their worst behavior is punished. Is that the cigarette guy? That guy that was selling illegal cigarettes. Here's the thing. I don't know all the details, but it's just he was resisting arrest. You know what I mean? And it was overkill, but it's like it's real easy to just not get killed by the cops, and it's not has nothing to do with and don't be black. No, I mean don't act black. Just be like, oh, you're arresting me? Well, there's no way I'm gonna get out of it. But they lack the rationality. They can't think two steps ahead. They can't be like, well, wait a second. What do I think is going to happen here? Do I think that I'm going to struggle and then like some Superman movie, they're going to go flying into like the walls of the skyscrapers around me, and then I'm going to be like, that's right, cops, I'm Nigger Man, and then just like leap into the air, and then you're free, and then let's say you did that. Then they'll just stop looking for you. Like, what do you think is going to happen? What's going to happen? Like, what outcome is going to be beneficial? Like, unless you can somehow outgun the cops, like, I'm just saying you should try to do that. I'm just saying, like, yeah, out of every possible scenario, I guess that's the only one that really makes any sense, is if you had, like, some plan where you could, you know, outgun the cops and then escape forever. You know, but that, you know, they all resist. Yet. So I don't have a lot of sympathy. Now, again, I don't know. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know. I haven't seen the footage and all that stuff. I mean, he was selling illegal cigarettes. I don't care. That's pretty. I mean, it's illegal, but it's also pretty low on my list of things I give a shit about. Because it was illegal cigarettes because New York's taxes on cigarettes are insane. And so he was just selling. He was like going. It was like the equivalent of, out here, you have Indian reservations and there's no taxes on tobacco because it's not America, and technically. And so people will go and buy a bunch of cartons of cigarettes from the res and sell them, you know, and it's illegal, but no, whatever, who cares, right? But yeah, I don't know. But at the same time, it's like, if he had just been like, oh, you're here to arrest me. Well, I'm not going to talk my way out of it, and I'm not going to muscle my way out of it, and I'm not going to leap into the air with the power of flight. So I guess I'm going, it's all bullshit and I hate this and whatever, but I'm going to, whatever, I'm going to jail now. But thank you very much there, Raven Keeper. Nigel Cringeworthy says, PewDiePie recently did a video about switching from Windows to Linux. He shows how easily it is to get OBS Studio up and running. Linux doesn't reset his volume randomly either. I won't link fag you, but you should take a gander. Sig Heil, brother. Well, I'll tell you what. People have been trying to get me to use Linux since, like, Linux. And it's just, it's probably not going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. I mean, I use Linux in very specific applications, but not for my desktop streaming program or a computer, because it's not just OBS. It's OBS, it's Adobe software, it's 3D software. It's, if you're a media person, you're not using Linux, you know. I don't know that PewDiePie, I mean, PewDiePie doesn't edit his own shit anymore. That's how he can use Linux, is he has editors, and they probably are not using Linux. In fact, I'm not even, if Macs weren't so overpriced and underpowered, I prefer actually using OS X to Windows, even when I'm doing media creation. But I switched back to Windows years ago just because their computer, there was a time when like a Mac Pro was actually had, like it was still not as good as a computer you could build yourself for less money. But they were solid, they were good, they were decent, and they held their value, and you know, I used Mac Pros for like years, and then I don't know if it's because they switched their whole money making scheme more towards basically selling iPads and garbage, and they just stopped caring about their computers. So the Macs they've been just garbage, expensive garbage. Their laptops are still good, but it's not something that's not appropriate for what I do. I need CPU power, and that's just not what you get from, although I've been non Apple so long, I've never even used their new, I guess they went, because they went x86 for a while. Right. And then now they're doing their own little chip again. So I've never even used that. So I don't know, maybe that's all awesome, but I doubt it. And Linux, like I said, I use it for certain things. You know, I dick around with Raspberry Pis, and I use Linux for, arcade emulation when I fuck around with arcade ROMs and things like that. But I, you know, or like security camera stuff, and you know, just if I'm just, because look, I'm nerdy, I geek out on computer stuff, but for my media creation stuff, it's Windows. Every time I've tried to use Linux, it's funny because these Linux evangelists will always be like, oh no, no, you can do 3D stuff. They got Blender. And it's like, yeah, great. And it's like, you can tell they don't know, they don't make anything. It's like, yeah, have you tried using fucking Blender? You know, like, I mean, it's way better than it was. Blender got a lot better than it was. But still, it's like, come on, dude. Or no, you can edit video now. It's like, I forgot what it is now. What they, and just use FFmpeg to like manually on the command line edit all your videos. It's like, come on. I use GIMP. I actually use GIMP instead of Photoshop these days. But yeah. Purple Sage. Purple Sage with the Angry Corky. Hi, Devin. Black Wall Street was a great stream. Very comprehensive. Thank you. Also, sorry to hear about Churro. Yeah, so am I. But yeah, he's obviously still not, he's not coming back. I'll tell you, time heals all wounds. There was like a while there where like every time I heard anything outside, I was like, is that Churro? Or when I was outside and I'd see like a bush rustle, I'm like, oh, is that Churro? And it would suck because it would never be Churro, right? It's not like that anymore. So, but I still miss little guy. I kind of wish I knew what happened to him. But at the same time, I'm kind of glad I don't. And maybe he could still be, like I said, he could be with hanging out in some RV with some boomers right now, eating tuna. That's entirely I don't think likely, but it's entirely possible. But thank you very much. And yes, Black Wall Street was a good one, I thought. Thank you for the support, Purple Sage. Gorilla Hands. Gorilla Hands, hey Devin, you're about the same age as me, give or take a year or two. How do you feel about all these identity scams and cyber fraud these days? Now we have to worry about some Pajit phishing our emails or getting bank account information from our debit cards with a handheld scanner. Our world is getting to be very dystopian. Yeah, my parents got scammed. Well, almost. They stopped it, or my sister stopped it. But yeah, some Pajit was trying to scam my mom like a month or so ago, and she gave personal data to them, but they didn't get anything. But now she has to get like LifeLock or whatever all that shit is. I think that, yeah, I mean, you didn't have to worry so much before, but it is getting to where, especially with AI and stuff, they're going to be able to automate a lot of this stuff. And his software gets updated constantly, and people not updating things, and 0 days, and all this other stuff. It's just, unfortunately, the more complex the system gets, the more vulnerabilities it's going to have. And you're just going to have to be, you know, take that into account. Try to air gap anything important from, I would refrain from, if you do banking online or anything like that online, or crypto online, or you know, even like stock trades or anything financial really online, I would try to air gap that on a separate computer that you only have on, that you never have connected to the internet unless, or even on, unless you are doing business on it. And then you shut it down when you're done. And then I would, if you have crypto, I would do like a hardware wallet or a paper wallet, or, you know, something like that. I wouldn't rely on like an exchange or something like that. And yeah, it's just, it's tough. And then of course, you know, there's like physical gold and things like that. That's way hard. Ironically, it's like, you know, all the things that you would think were easier to steal, you know, like putting money under your mattress and shit like that, is now, that's like one of the safer ways of protecting your wealth. But, you know, yeah, it's gonna get harder and harder. And look, I'm not like an old man by any means, but there will come a time when I probably like get a little boomery and it's hard to keep up with everything that's going on. I'm still fairly up to date with a lot of technology, but I'm not like I was. When I was like 20, I was like bleeding. I knew exactly what was coming out, you know, all the time. And now I care about different things. And there might come a time where, like, I don't think I'll ever be dumb enough to fall for some like stupid scam, but like I might be dumb enough to leave a digital door open or something like that, that I'm not thinking of. So yeah. And the world's, what someone gave some scary statistic, like something like only 30% of India, or it might even be less than that, is on the internet right now. What's it going to be like when they're all on the internet? That's going to be fucking insane. So, yeah. Yeah. And then just heads up, Gorilla Hands, it has your thing twice. I don't know if that you meant to send it twice or if it actually sent twice, but on my end, it sent it twice. I guess you did know that, because Gorilla Hand says, I realized I just sent you a duplicate, chat. Keep that money and just say, where's the button?
Faggots!
There we go. Well, I appreciate that. White man alive. Once again, this is footage from Okinawa circa 1995. White Man Alive says, hey, Devin, thanks for years of content. What are your thoughts on Zoomers slowly becoming more and more based? Since 2020, I've had friends who I have never thought would come to me asking about Jews and Nigs, so white pilling to see. Thanks again. Here's $30 for the bees. When will we be getting the stack honey, by the way? Well, I am actively trying to figure that out. Yeah, it's encouraging. I don't know how widespread it is. Sometimes it's easy for us to get a weird impression of things when we're in our little internet silos that we get kind of, you know, quarantined in. All you have to do to really kind of, if you want to get a reality check, just watch some of these compilations of like Charlie Kirk owns a Groiper, you know, or something, you know, like these videos where it's Charlie Kirk basically just saying how awesome Jews are and the whole crowd is cheering. Now, I don't know what that's really unscientific, right? It's a crowd of college kids that showed up to this event. But I wonder if there's going to be based Zoomers, but there's based Millennials and there's less based Gen Xers, but they exist. And there's even less based Boomers and they exist. There is more, I guess there is more, right? But I don't think it's like, oh, Generation Zyklon. You know what I mean? There is more. And maybe it's hard. How would you gauge? I don't know. Is there, we'll have to wait and see maybe there's data. I just don't know. I'm not aware of it. But I'd like to see actual data that, reliable data on that. I don't know how you'd quantify that. I guess there were some surveys that came out recently about people. I don't know if they broke it up by age, but people in support of Israel and America, like that number going down drastically. But how much of that is Zoomers? Is it, maybe it's the majority? And if it is, how much of that is like leftist Zoomers? You know what I mean? That are against it because of the they're colonizers, that kind of a thing. It's hard to know. But I do think it's increasing. It's been increasing since the boomers. There were some based boomers, still are some based boomers. Based Gen Xers a little more, millennials a little more, Zoomers a little more. A lot more, maybe, but I don't know. I'd have to see. But I will tell you what, across the board, anyone who spends a significant amount of time socializing on the internet, and I don't mean people that are like, oh, you're terminally online and go touch grass. I mean like people who don't watch cable TV, you know, like normal people, people that I spend a lot of time on the internet, but like, and that's how I communicate with my family. That's how I communicate with my friends. That's how I communicate really with everybody that I'm not seeing in real life, right? Like, it's not how I communicate with the mailman, but you know what I mean? Like, that's how I communicate with almost everyone that doesn't live around me. And so I'm on the internet a lot when I'm communicating with people. And I think people like that, people who spend a significant amount of their time, or not a majority, but a significant amount of their time online, and that's a good source of, or a big source of their information, if they're not watching CNN or Fox News or listening to talk radio or whatever, I think that population is getting super Jew-pilled right now. I'm beyond my wildest expectations when I started talking about this stuff back in 2016. Let's see here. Yid Myers says, pretty crazy to think how much the attitude of our people would change if all propaganda suddenly stopped. Also, here's a meme I made about the Black Holocaust. Yid Myers.
Yes?
You're gay.
Every once in a while, I have a weak moment, but not tonight. Not tonight! I will not fall victim to your link tonight, Yid Myers. Videograms. Videogram says, recent Canadian election, the conservative who kept pandering to the Sikhs and says how Canada is an idea that anyone can come to and live the dream lost to the liberal WEF globalist who supports a group that wants Canada to have a... Wait, hold on. Let me reread all this. This is very wordy. And I'm tired. Let's see. I'm on allergy medicine. Try to fix my stupid ear I can't hear out of. Recent Canadian election, Conservative cab pandering to Sikhs and says how Canada is an idea, blah, 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 blah. He lost to the WEF globalist. Okay, I think I don't remember his name, but I think I know who you're talking about. And he wants Canada to have 100 million by 2100. The Century Initiative is a major organization in Canada that explicitly works for Canada to have mass continuous immigration so the population reaches at least 100 million by 2100. Well, there you go. What's the pushback on that? You know what I mean? Like, look, if no one fights back, they're going to get it. They're going to get it. I'm not saying that no one's fighting back, but like, not enough. I mean, and that goes for, I'm not saying just in Canada, just the West generally, there's not enough of us, unfortunately, fighting back about this, but we can, you know, keep trying to, make other people aware and make enough people aware and in a position where they can, even if they can't fight back necessarily, they can raise up John Connors that can maybe someday, get us in a better position. But yeah, it's not great news. Beach Boys with the big dono.
Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with.
Look how Jewy this fag is. By the way, the 90s gave us episode 1 of Star Wars. The 90s gave us Jar Jar Binks. Still want to go back to the 90s? Beach Boys, thank you very much. Appreciate you, Devin. Sorry to hear about Bill Monaghan and Churro. Catch you on the replay. Well, maybe they're hanging out together somewhere. That's a good thought, right? That's a nice thought. Maybe Bill Monaghan and Churro are sharing a latte on a cloud somewhere. How about that? Well, I appreciate that, Beach Boys. Videograms says the Century Initiative chairman that is working in the Canadian government is Jewish, by the way, Mark Wiseman. Also, Canada elected a record 22 Indians from India as members of parliament. Yeah, I mean, our countries are gone. Well, and Europe's in a different situation, but North America is just going to be like Brazilian Star Trek. I guess that's the way to put it. North America is going to be Brazilian Star Trek. It's going to be like a mix of like third world people and high tech equipment. And it's just going to be hilarious. It's going to be, it's just, you know, it's going to be like watching a bunch of, you know, natives trying to operate a computer. It's the society version of that. I don't know. It's going to be, yeah, I'm going to say it's Brazilian Star Trek is the future for right now. And I think that's the direction we're going in right now. And I think that, like I said, the best you can do is take care of your own and prepare for the consequences of that direction that we're going in. Yeah, I'm not saying don't fight it. I'm just saying, if we're being realistic here, that's what blackpilled means. It doesn't mean like, oh, I'm so sad. Game over, man. I'm just saying like, no, that's clearly the direction things are going demographically. And I don't, like, no one is suggesting any realistic or even probable solutions. When the best you can do is Trump, whose deportations are not even outpacing Biden's or Obama's. You know what I mean? Like he's just like another exactly the same president. You know, like he's not, there's a lot of talk going on, you know, there's a lot of talk and they make these really theatrical, novellas really. I mean, they're basically that they put on these big novellas for all the MAGA-tards to watch. We're like, oh, based, he's arresting a judge, or, oh, based, you know, like, you know, he deported an MS-13 guy with tattoos on his hands or whatever. And, but it's like, yeah, but there's still that none of that solves it. None of that even like begins to scratch the surface. Like that doesn't really matter. He's not, first of all, it's the headline is never what's actually happening. He's not arresting judges that are getting in the way. All right. It was a very specific judge who was doing something very specific, and judges get arrested. Newsflash, judges get arrested. The FBI investigates judges and arrests judges. It's not a new thing, especially when they do things like what she did. And it appears as if she was being investigated. And it's not because, oh, she disagreed with his immigration that locked her up. Should he do that? I don't know. If he was going to be serious about this, then that's kind of what you have to do, which is why, you know, he's not doing it. The other story about he's sending these people to like prisons in El Salvador. Okay, but like, wake me up when he does it times a million, because that's just the start. You get rid of a million people, you're still, that's just the first bite, and that's a first bite of a very big Mexican pizza, and again, they're not doing it. They're not doing it. Mr. Niggs with the big dono. Look at all this generosity tonight.
Money is power. Money is the only weapon that you have to defend. Look.
Thought I'd mix it up a little bit. Mr. Niggs, what's up, Deb? What is the Jew problem I keep hearing about? I don't know. I think it's a problem that needs a solution, perhaps. But thank you very much, Mr. Niggs. Really appreciate the big support there, pulling out the big guns and keeping the show afloat. All right. That's going to help out a lot. I do appreciate that. And just as much as I appreciate from Corn Pop the Bad Dude. Man, you guys are being nice to me. I'll have to figure out. I'm going to run out of things to play here. I don't even know what to do here. About, since we're talking about this tonight.
Uh-oh, problems.
Come on, Uncle Phil, this is the 90s, man.
Man, it's the 90s.
Ma, it's the 90s.
I can be anything I want to be. It's the 90s.
This is the 90s.
Hey, it's the 90s.
It's the 90s. Parents are supposed to discuss sex with their children.
It's the 90s.
That's right. Corn Pop the Bad Dude. The only two world leaders who have used the term NWO were Bush Sr. and Hitler. Topic suggestion, Hitler's intelligence past. Hitler's intelligence past, huh? I don't know anything about Hitler's intelligence past. That could be interesting. I'll paste that right in my notes. I knew he was in the military, but I don't know about his intelligence past. But thank you very much, Corn Pop the Bad Dude. The big dono. Man of low moral fiber says, in the FDR stream, was it covered that his Secretary of State was a turbo faggot Negro lover who had to resign because he got caught trying to solicit two black males for Jew Negro butt sex? No, I don't think I talked about it. I didn't know about that. Big if true and unsurprising. That's another thing that hasn't changed. That's another one of those things where the more things change, the more they stay the same. People think that Washington, D.C. used to be some, like, you know, I guess, a very moral, upstanding city. Come on. it's always been, I mean, well, I don't know about always. It may be it ebbs and flows to some degree, but it's often rotten at the top. Aristocratic Owl says, hey, follow of AA and distributist, have a quick question about your videos. Why is it that all the reruns are in shitty 420p, all while your live streams are on air, would be in 1080p? Can you find a way to fix this for a rewatch game, gang, to view in 1080p? It's 2025. Some things, I guess, should be expected. I don't know. I have space internet. And so it might be because I stream probably at a lower bit rate. And that's the way it is. And I'm sorry it doesn't look nice on your 4K TV or whatever it is. But it's more important to me that the show doesn't crash while streaming than you have really crisp pictures of race riots, I guess. But I mean, yeah, it's nothing. I'm not actively trying to do that, but it could be it could just be a product of my lower than normal bitrate, because if I jack up the bitrate, the show would go off the air. Or and I don't know, maybe it's better now, but we still have problems occasionally, even with doing this. So I'd rather not fuck with it because it's working. Spaghetti Nigger says in Spaghetti Nigger Land, people before mass immigration in the past 20 years only saw blacks in the USA movies and TV shows and believed all they saw. Old people still believe that in the USA, they are all doctors and scientists, and those are not, and those that are not, it's because of white racism. Yeah, I don't blame a lot of European whites. It was annoying. Like, I remember when I was a kid and we would talk to exchange students when they would come to America, and I'm not going to say it made them racist, but they had different attitudes from the beginning of the school year and the end of the school year. They'd be very snooty and very condescending about how we're just a bunch of racist hillbillies in the beginning of the year. By the end of the year, not so much. And that was a common thing. And I've just noticed that when I was traveling before a lot of this mass migration in Canada and in Europe, a lot of the white people being very blue-pilled and acting like, you know, I was some kind of super retarded racist for believing in my life experience that they had no connection to whatsoever, because they, as you say, their exposure to non-whites was courtesy of Jews. Bessemer says, hi, Devin. Thinking about your Black Wall Street stream and how they solved black rape by outlawing lynching. Right. Yeah, it would work the other way around, though, right? Or is that what you were trying to say? They solved black rape by doing lynching. Lynching was a completely rational response to what was going on, in my opinion. I don't care if that's too edgy. It's not meant to be edgy. It's just true. It's just true. And the more you look back at what was going on back then, the more you're like, fuck, I'm surprised they didn't lynch more of these guys. And then Bessemer again says, Devin, what are your thoughts on someone going for engineering degree? While AI is going to be making so many jobs obsolete, someone in my family is considering going back to school. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight, first of all. Second of all, I would say it depends on the kind of engineering. And one thing that AI is not doing yet, and who knows, it's hard to know with these sorts of things, it's not creatively designing new things. So it depends on what kind of engineering you're doing. It might be very valuable. Mechanical engineering. I mean, AI would probably be a tool that you would have to learn and use. I think that's one thing that's going to become more accessible is you'll be able to maybe feed your designs through simulations that, you know, back not even that long ago would have taken like supercomputers. And so, you know, no one in the prototyping phase of hardware, and you know, whether you're talking about like electromechanical or mechanical, or, you know, even just like, you know, like computer chips and things like that, the ability to simulate those things and improve them with computers will probably be, and AI will probably be, that ability will probably increase, but I don't think those people are going to be replaced instantly. It'll be a long time. It'll be a long time, but like, I'll tell you one thing, coding's probably not I wouldn't get into that unless you're going to be writing operating systems. And like, you know, if you're like a turbo nerd and you're one of those people that just really have a knack for it, you can probably still make a living, because AI is not as good at writing code as people think. It's good at helping. It's good at augmenting code, and sort of the same thing. It can like help you find, but even with that, like I've had issues with it where I've tried having it help me fix broken Python scripts and things like that. And it depending on what AI you're using. If you use, that's the other thing too, is if you use like Grok and ChatGPT and DeepSeek, between the three of them, you can usually figure out what the hell's going on, like what's wrong with your code. But it's not like people think. It's not like, hey, write me a, like they try to make, they do these promos, like they've promoted Grok. Like I've seen Elon Musk retweet tweets where this guy's like, I asked Grok to make a Pong game in HTML and it did it. Whoa, man. It's like, well, okay. I mean, but it's Pong. is there like a big demand for like Pong web pages? You know, it's really limited still. It will get there. It will get there. And that's one of the areas where it'll get there faster than other areas. But yeah, it's tricky. It is definitely a fly in the ointment. It's a wild card, man. I wouldn't want to get into an industry where AI is going to be playing a gigantic role. And here's the other thing too, just like the dot-com bubble, they're going to try to make AI do everything. Like they tried to make the internet do everything, and everyone's going to invest a lot of money and there's going to be a lot of bubbles. And just like there was a big dot-com, it doesn't mean the internet went away, obviously, but a lot of the stupid internet ideas that people were having went away because they had the bubble burst and they realized, well, wait a second, this isn't like magic. It's just the internet. Like there's limitations to what the internet can do. I mean, it's cool. It does a lot of cool things we never thought of doing before, but like, no, it doesn't do all the cool things. And some of these people are thinking of dumb shit, and AI is going to be the same thing where it's going to be like, well, you know, a lot of these ideas are dumb, but it is powerful, and it will. So it's going to be whoever figures out what AI is going to be good at and gets into that early. That's who's going to be making some money. But there will probably be a bubble, I think, an AI bubble. Man of low moral fiber says, don't forget that the rapping little Niglet Emmett Till's father was hanged for, raping white women while in the military. U.S. military sends uniformed Negroes with rifles to rape women worldwide. That is true. Japanese mob kind of gay for not killing those Negroes in prison, honestly. Well, so that they wouldn't get killed in prison, because they would have. They went to special Negro prison. Like they had to build a prison just for, again, I don't think it's entirely black, but I bet it's a really black prison because it's just for U.S. servicemen. Man of Lone Moral Fiber again. Anecdotal, but I know a guy who was in the Air Force and was stationed in Japan. He said there was a prison in Japan almost exclusively. Well, there you go. For Negroes and Beaners on deployment. Well, there you go. That's he's right. That's the prison. Corn Pop the Bad Dude says, hello and welcome to Japan, where you can get killed by a Nigerian serving in the U.S. Army on the same streets where you were born, raised on. Looking over here, we have an entire city of Afro-Asian rape babies. Right. Yep. Yeah, you're welcome, Japan. Based Hank Hill. It's amazing the amount of stupid white cucks that still defend these North American rape apes and miscegenation. Yeah, the propaganda is strong. It's going to take it took a long time to get here. It took about 100 years to get whites this gay. And it's going to take about 100 years to get them not gay. But thank you for the support there. White Tiger Kingdom. Meanwhile, in Japan.
You gotta pull yourself out. Holy fuck.
I'm thinking, Max.
Can't believe the military thinks it's prudent to make our current crime and / gun problem even worse for the recruits. Hey guys, support our troops. Yeah, it was amazing to me that there's a number on it. Let's find the number on non-citizen servicemen. Let's see. Do we have any good numbers here? Holy fuck. I didn't know it was this bad. So, as of February 2024, approximately 40,000 foreign nationals are serving the U.S. Armed Forces. 40,000 non-citizens are in the armed forces right now. Each year, between 5,000 and 8,000 non-citizens enlist in the U.S. military. So that's great. Oh, and here's another fun little factoid. Since 2002... over 187,000 members of the U.S. military have been naturalized. So it's basically another way to get citizenship. So 187,000 immigrants. I guess doing the jobs Americans won't do, huh? Like defending Israel. So that's great. Yeah. Man of Low Moral Fiber says Benjamin Sumner Wells is the name of the gay Jew Negro lover that was Under Secretary of State from 1936 to 1943. During Roosevelt's presidency, he was a major foreign policy advisor. Well, there you go. Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. Aristocratic Owl says, wasn't trying to come across as complete hostile against that, but been watching your content for a while and will admit it can sometimes fill me with rage to feel the need to defend founding. What are you talking about? What did you say that I was hostile about? Oh, you're the one that was complaining about the 1080p stuff. Yeah, don't worry about it. Like I said, it's just a technological limitation of the stream being via space, which is pretty high tech. Yeah, sure, it's not coming at you in 1080p, but it's coming at you from space. So there you go. Is there? You said you watched AA and the Distributist. Is their stream coming to you from space? I don't think so. Mine is. Mine's coming from space. So there you go. All right. Let's take a look at Rumble. And Rumble is, let's see here, Zazie McTazbot. I often joke about starting a cult, not a militia, but yesterday my brother called me concerned with his friend that got divorced. His wife went lesbo and trooned the kid. He went full flat earth. He went down such a rabbit hole. He is going to join a compound. He would only admit to my brother it was somewhere tropical. Well, I would have thought it was in Idaho. He told my brother he was going to take DMT to decode the patterns in the lasers. It's a messed up reminder that the lesbo ex truning your kids, making you go crazy, can happen anywhere, even in white small towns. Thanks for the show. I don't know. I kind of feel like those two things are probably related. Sounds like, I mean, I can't imagine ever starting a life with someone where that would even be a possible outcome. I just think people, you need to be more discerning. If your wife leses out and troons out your kid, you did it wrong. And it doesn't sound like this guy was 100% all with it. You know what I mean? Like, maybe he's your friend, but it sounds like there was some schizophrenia kind of like floating beneath the surface that might have, you know, sort of played a role in this situation he's in. But, yeah, it happens. It does happen, I guess. Dr. Jellyfinger says, a while back, someone suggested the film The Last American Virgin. That film is actually a remake of the 1978 Israeli film Lemon Popsicle by the same director. Lemon Popsicle claims itself to be the first in a genre of teen sex comedies. It's mostly degenerate, but the ending is very brutal and interesting. Not sure what it's trying to teach teens. I'm aware of the movie, the Last American Virgin. I've seen parts of it, but I haven't watched it. Wasn't aware of the Israeli one. I feel like someone's mentioned it before, but I haven't watched it. Might be worth taking a look at. Gravy Bear says, my guess is the Pajit countries going to war is just an excuse for them to unload more street shitters into the West. I don't think it's that kind of Machiavellian thing. Like, and then India and Pakistan, we'll go to war so that we can send refugees. No, I don't think it's like that. I think it's India and Pakistan have always had disagreements. Or at least the Muslims and the Hindus have always had disagreements. And I don't even know that I don't think it's going to escalate to some crazy, you know, World War III type of thing. There's always skirmishes on that border. It's not new. Is it escalating? I don't know. I haven't watched the news in a couple of days, to be honest. I've been hard at work outdoors, which is why my ears all plugged up and my medicine's wearing off. You can probably tell. I'm getting a little drippy here. But yeah, I haven't paid attention to the what's been unfolding, so I have to take a look. But I think it's another case of nothing ever happens, to be honest. Let's see here. Pro420 says, I appreciate everything you do. Thanks for all the info, entertainment, and laughs. I clip your vids and post them in my compilations. Much love and respect. Would love to hear some Pantera in the intro. Yeah. Well, there's a couple good songs of theirs. Like there's like 5 minutes alone. I'm blanking on their names. It's been a long time. Yeah, speaking of 90s. And then Dimebag Darrell got shot by a schizo, didn't he? Based officer Jeremiah says the Marines and Okie have to be on curfew and lockdown every year or so because some groid will rape or kill some Japanese chick. Then I visited there. Locals would look at blacks like they were aliens. Well, aliens like in the movie Aliens, maybe. Yeah, they're coming. Yeah, I can't even imagine how pissed off I would be if there was some occupying country that was bringing in savages to rape our women. And, with regularity. I mean, it's just got to be humiliating. Bowden Nilsson says Night Nation raid. Well, I appreciate that. And everyone, I guess. I just barely found out what a raid was. I didn't know what didn't it start as like a Twitch thing? But thank you for the raid, I guess. Little Wagon says Quatapa. That's right, the great Quatapa. Everyone must feel bad about the evil Quatapa times. Rupert V21 says, replay gang, good night, Professor Stat. Gonna catch a replay to see you on Saturday. Well, I appreciate that. Try not to get killed by any Pakistanis. D-Man 119 says, kick these three rapists in the pit, followed by the mega pit.
Mega pit.
There you go. Let's see here. Lamb Chops 1977 says, thank you for all the hard work you do. Devin, so sorry to hear about Churro. God should have taken a Negro instead. Churro's life was infinitely more valuable to me than all of them combined. Well, I'm going to oversell it, but yeah, probably. Mandy Marie says, hi, Devin, good show. Appreciate that. And still scrolling here. Sorry, Rumble's slow. Really, what it is, I just need to get that plug-in loaded. I just always forget to load it. And then we get Negro Spritzer, who, of course, is expressing his thoughts on the two Marines and seamen that were stationed in Okinawa. And however, I don't get the impression that he is particularly sympathetic to the victims in Japan. However, he doesn't specifically mention them as one of the groups of people he is displeased with. However, he does seem to mention everyone else. So there's Negro Spritzer. And, yeah. Negro Spritzer again reiterating his distaste for those of darker complexion. All right, guys. I gotta take some more sinus medicine and stuff before trying to go to sleep. But I really appreciate... Oh, we got one last one here. We got D-Man. Says, well done. Now get in the pit to those three Yard Ape service members. I think that... Didn't I already read that one? Or is that... You're just reiterating what you said before. All right, guys. Anyway, I'm going to shut her down. I will see you guys again on Saturday. It is now officially May. It is now officially May. April is over. I told you, the older you get, the faster time flies. It seems like it was February, just like a couple of days ago. Oh, we got one last one again. Too many Glock says, I've been saying Churro needs neutered for a year or more. Churro would still be, well, you know what? Fuck you, dude. You know what? Fuck you. If that's what you wanted to tell me, you killed Churro by not cutting his balls off. You know what? Fuck you, dude. How about that? How about fuck you and your $3? There's lots of little mini Churros out there. And Churro, like I said, Churro might still be around out there. And if he's not, I'd rather Churro die on his feet than live on his knees. And in the meantime, for Blackpilled, I am, of course, Devin Stack.
So I have here Bearing the Cross by David J. Garrow. It has in it one of my favorite Martin Luther King Jr. quotes that is scrubbed from the internet. This is a pretty famous book, right? You know, most of it's made up as far as his character or whatever, but this is the quote. It says, King told Abernathy, maybe we just have to admit that the day of violence is here, and maybe we have to just give up and let violence take its course. The nation won't listen to our voice. Maybe it'll heed the voice of violence. Abernathy tried to reassure King and lift his spirits, but made little headway. Ralph, we live in a sick nation. Maybe we will just have to let violence run its course. And Ralph, the Ralph that they're talking about is his friend and close confidant, Ralph Abernathy. He's well known to be one of his closest friends.
లతగారు ఏమండి ఏమైందండి?
దెయ్యాలు.
దెయ్యాలా? ఎక్కడండి? ఎక్కడ కనపట్లేదే, భలేవారే.
Goli mar.